Recall this meeting, Johnson Water regular board meeting to order, May 12th, 2022 at 6:30 p.m. So we got some first appointments going to come, Jason. We're just so used to you being here, you're part of the team. But the first regular, the first appointment on the list is going to be here at 7, so we'll start with Jason. So you're gonna bump up to the first.
Okay.
Because the other people won't be here till 7.
Easy enough. All right. So okay, so we're pretty much wrapped up on the supplemental project. There's just a few things left to get done on it, mainly the paving along Teller Road, where they've gone in the north lane of the road to get to the end of the project. Another thing that has come up, there's been some pressure issues at the end of Teller Road on the two connections there. And it looks like when they went to tie into that two-inch line that goes to the very end of the road, there must have been some debris that got into the line and it's been causing some issues down there at the end. So,
whose connections are those?
It is Nelson and Wade Price.
Oh, on the east end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So Weldon has been out here the last couple days working with Jim to try to get it cleared out, so that they can get those guys back up to pressure where they need to be. Apparently they're going to dig up that intersection on 500 West and Tower Road tomorrow and see if they can find any pain in that seam that might be clogging it up. Jim, do you have any other update on that besides
what
was to tell them that you guys are planning on digging up that T tomorrow to see on the clog?
Two inch and a half.
So we're coming down from 8 to 2?
No, from 2, well, it goes from 8 to 2.5 to 2 to inch and a half. And I think it's where it's going from 2 to inch and a half.
And it's before it splits off to go to
Wade and Pratt.
It's before that.
Yep, it's out there.
They're both
in that corner.
They're both affected.
Yeah.
We flushed quite a bit of gravel out of there, but it doesn't seem like it has the pressure to it, does it?
No, it didn't. It doesn't have what it had before.
Engineer asked me to plug. It's not because of.
Yeah, we're set at the same pressure that the tank was providing in the other direction, so.
Well, we're getting it from two directions, too.
You're getting it from both the tank and the PRV, so it shouldn't be a supply issue. There's definitely something flooding the line.
Somewhere, huh?
Yeah. So, Sloan's been out here with, like I said, with Jim, all week working on that, trying to get it cleared out. Hopefully we get it figured out soon.
Yeah. So do you know where those reducers are?
Then just start fishing.
So as far as paying welding, I guess that would be warranty work, correct?
Yeah, that would definitely fit under that because that's a direct result of them working there. So
they're going to be highly motivated to find that, right?
Yeah,
that'd be unfortunate. Pressure issues after we spend all that money.
No, you've got plenty of pressure at that 8-inch line too, but it's just not making it too.
Because all the connections that's put in, all installed, that's new connections and everything.
Did you get the last of them installed with the connections? That
like John?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So pressure or flow?
It's well, It's restricting. You'll get that pressure for a minute and then it'll go on.
Let's plug it.
That makes sense. What about the road conditions on the other side that the county was worried about?
So we ended up having a meeting with the county road department last month and discussed what's going on there. Ben Henderson had talked to the commission and he had gotten authorization to basically pay for resurfacing the south lane, and they wanted to do it in a way that they can resurface the entire top layer of the asphalt at once, to not do one lane at a time. And so what they have worked out, we put together an agreement, and I've got it attached to the document, the last page of your packet there, but we worked out an agreement where instead of doing a 6-inch layer of asphalt on that north lane, the road department said just put 3 inches of road base and then a 3-inch layer of asphalt to match the south lane, because it's only 3 inches right now, and then they're going to do a 2.5-inch overlay over the entire road through there just to clean it all up. And the county is going to pay for half of that overlay. And what that does, it makes it so that instead of putting 6 inches of asphalt, you guys are essentially only putting 5.5 inches of asphalt. And it ends up coming out a little bit cheaper for you doing it that way too. So,
it sounds like they were doing some creative thinking, and so it seemed like it was good.
Yeah.
It worked out.
So, we've got that agreement. It just needs to be signed, and then we can share that with the county. And then TKC is actually going to be doing the paving. Weldon's contracted with them to do it, and they can get going as soon as we tell them go with that agreement.
So. Have you guys looked this over well? Are you good with it?
Yeah.
So, Jason, real quick.
But it doesn't, just to make sure, we're not netting. It's not needing more money, so it's less, right?
It's less.
I'm just thinking if we have to do any actions,
less
it's going to cost.
Contract.
Yeah, I mean, with the money there, it's in the asphalt budget.
Right. Yep. So you guys have done the change order, if you remember from last time.
Right.
Order where we said we're going to tear up all the way to the end instead of only 700 feet, so it ended up being about 900 feet of road that we're chewing up, and it was going to be roughly $94,500, but now it's only going to be $93,900, so you're saving a little bit of money there.
So there's no action. So we'll just give me this. I'll sign it tonight if you got it.
Yeah, you just sign the one on the back of your sheet if you want, and then hand it back to me if you go that way. So what was your question?
That was the exact
question.
Okay. I'll do well. Drag my
way. Well, I should just let you finish it.
And as far as the project goes, with everything done, with all the paving finished out, we should be, as far as the total budget to finish it out, we should be about $941,206 for the project. And the bid was $972,000, so you're about $30,000 under the original bid of the project, because we didn't need as much material as we had anticipated. So we'll, that leaves, like we talked about, some money on the table to go on and do what you're wanting to do with Red Lane, with the Red Lane tank. And I think we talked about that last time, where CIB was not okay with doing independence, but they, since the Red Lane tank was part of the original description in the CIB application, they're okay with you doing improvements there. So we've worked with, or we've talked with Jim about it and Dixon about it, what needs to happen through there. And we've talked about the piping to and from the tank down the Full Line Road, and also what it's going to take to replumb the booster station. We've talked about basically replacing the booster pumps in the booster station to preserve at the end of their life, and revalving it so that we can have a high pressure line that goes from the boosters up to the lead line tank, and basically upstream of the boosters, or downstream of the boosters, I should say, but also downstream of the Ufalco tank. So Ufalco can fill lead line, and then from lead line it can feed the rest of the system. And it can, and basically the boosters can both fill Ledge Lane and do Palco with this change. Also part of it, we're working with, we're going to be working with Precision Pumps to put together a chlorination station. The design basically is a building skid that can just be dropped in place and hooked into the system. So we talked about having that be part of it. And also part of that piping, we'll have another PRV in there to regulate so that when the pumps kick on, they won't blast and overflow the tank at Ledge Lane, but they'll be able to fill it as needed too. So, that's where we're at with it. And then it also makes it so that if you need to, you can bypass Ledge Lane and feed the system from the top of the road. A lot of really good changes up there. We put together a design contract amendment to do that work. And that's the second group of papers on there. That's the work release number, or the amendment number one, work release 2020-1. And it goes through our cost, the additional cost that would be added on. So we have an additional $30,000 in engineering design fees on that. And then right now we're under budget with the engineering construction services, and we estimate that the only additional that would be needed, we estimate doing all of the work for that project could be done within a 90-day period, and we've estimated that the additional needed for construction beyond the original $150,000 would only be $47,000. So that puts us at $107,000 additional for the amendment to go ahead and do design and construction services for that portion of the project to get finished up. So, do you have any questions about that?
Are they satisfied with unit pricing and all that? Or
yeah, so if we're as long as we're getting materials, or as long as the district is providing materials, their unit pricing, they've said it hasn't really changed at all, and they've locked in a lot of their rates with a lot of their suppliers on other things too. So their rates are pretty
okay.
They'd be very similar if anything else.
I think within. We're still talking about the same money that we've approved them to operate under, so I don't know if you have an issue with that.
Yeah. Okay.
Unless they, like I said, if they raise the price, then we'll have to go back to the drawing board, I'm sure.
So we've got, as soon as we get a, like I say, as soon as we get a signature on that work release, we can get going on design on that, and then hopefully get it wrapped up in the next couple months. Drinking water still needs their time to review the plan on this addition as well, but we can get it to them quick enough, and like I say, we can have this wrapped up in a couple months and then get it going on that. So.
And that'll absorb the rest of the balance?
The
$400,000, I guess, the balance?
Yeah, that would, so there's additional there, right? That would, in the next couple months, that would take us to the design fee, that extra $30,000. And then the extra $77,000 would be used up for during construction as needed. And if things go well and they're able to move along quick enough during construction, we may come in under budget on construction again too. So, just to be aware.
you guys want to discuss it further and put it down, or anything you want to do, we'll move on. It's up to you guys. Put it at the end of the meeting, or are we going to talk about it now? I don't care.
Better put it at the end. Nobody's speaking up.
Okay, we'll let them chew on it for a little bit more.
Okay. And the only other thing, as far as the drinking water application for independence goes, so you guys are going to be on the June agenda for the meeting to discuss it. I tried reaching out to her today, but she was traveling. Sky from Freezing Water. But she, the other applications that we have on for that drinking water funding have pretty much all been funded with that ARPA funding. And seems that you guys' Magi and everything was very similar to the other applications. I don't see why it wouldn't be at this point, but we'll know for sure after that June meeting what you're going to be funded after that one. But in the meantime, we have been having conversations with the tribe about going through there. We're dealing with a similar situation in Tridel where we're coming down on the Point Highway. A lot of tribal parcels were coming through, and so they are eager to have water lines going in Tridel, and they also said they're eager to have it happen in Independence as well because it directly benefits them. And so that's a good plus in your guys' favor on that. The only issue is how many Alati parcels we'll be dealing with versus tribal parcels.
Yeah.
Because that's a different process. The tribe doesn't have any say on those. But we're going through that right now. We're putting together a map of which ones are Alati and which ones are tribal, so we can figure that one out, and we should have some answers on that one soon.
So as far as us staying in the county right of way, though, will we even be touching any Alati properties?
If Johnson's willing to fight the fight with the tribe on that one.
Well, no.
If they're amenable to us being watered to them, would we have to fight the tribe?
So
no, there's two parts of that, right? There's the tribe and then Alati's. Right. Alati's are private ownership, right?
Yeah.
So you don't have to clear that through the tribe, you have to clear it through the Alati's. Is that not correct?
Through the BIA.
Through the BIA, oh, okay.
So it's
just another process.
Yeah. So you in a county, do they own property owner own to the center of the street as well?
Yeah.
Well,
what you're talking about.
Okay. We've already signaled that we're definitely want to be a partner with the tribe on that.
Yeah. And we'll keep having the conversations with them. They, like I said, they were excited when we told them that we're wanting to do this, that we're getting the funding to do it. And they want to make it work as much as they can. So they're going to be on your side for this one. Something they may ask for in return is some connections along the way to provide to some of their members. And that's just something to be aware of. But that's something that other districts have done with them in the past. And that's something that they would like. But that's a discussion for the future, I suppose. But just so you're aware that that's something that they brought up to us in the discussions to this point.
Okay. So it's sitting with rural water or the money, right? They're the one approving agencies. What did they approve? What type of loans were they approved, Ryder? The ones you just mentioned is like ours. What did they approve? Grant match?
It's been grant money. So we had talked to you when we were submitting the application about match at cash match. And you guys had put on your you responded to put on the application $100,000 that the district would be responsible for, and then the rest coming from ARPA was the grant. So pretty favorable.
So you feel good about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes me feel good. Because that would be a good project to have done with that and help a lot of people over there and quit telling people no.
Yeah. Yep.
So is this something to go forward with the litigation that's still in progress with Shiner?
The tank up at the top?
What litigation? Are you talking about
Well, the acquisition of the other half an acre or whatever.
Oh.
Because we're not.
So this isn't independence.
This is something separate.
Yeah.
Well, no, he's talking about the contract for the.
I thought this was up there on this Ioka tank.
No. That'll be a little further down the line, I think, isn't it?
So, Dan, what's this stuff here you're reading?
Okay.
This is for our Pleasant Valley amendment, and it is going to go up there, you're right. And I don't...
All right, this was what we was talking about over in Independence.
No, we shifted gears. The ARPA money is the new project we're talking about, the ARPA money that comes from rural water.
That ties
our system together and allows us to lift our moratorium in that area. And then this is the amendment to the Pleasant Valley. We had leftover money, and they're only going to allow us to use. We wanted to use it elsewhere, but they're only going to allow us to use it for stuff that we actually designate on the application, and an Ioka tank boosters and stuff. We had put that as an option, and so they're allowing us to do that with this leftover money. This is from CIB. ARPA money for the Independence.
Is that because we had that listed as a project on the CIB and we did not have Independence?
It wasn't the CIB list. It was the actual application.
So we didn't have Independence on the application.
Right. We had to. We originally were going to do two, and then we shifted and did the one.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
But the Ioka tank, we're still dealing with half an acre of ground Chiners haven't put a price on.
Chiners, that they don't. We have a. Should we just bring it up? Should we talk about it now?
Yeah.
But we send that question.
Or go around the bike, and he wants the same deal as he's had on the other one, where we give him we take the bill from the little house and throw it away every month, so he doesn't have to pay for water. And then it'll work with us.
So to make sure
that he'll pay for it, or is he won't pay
for it? We can't
do
that. I told him we can't do that.
So let me repeat what you just said so people on this side can hear.
So I'll
just repeat it.
Okay.
Since I'm, so Jim said he met with Bike as instructed from the board, and what Bike wanted for compensation was basically free connection of water, that he didn't have to pay his water bill, which is against code and statute, so we can't do that. We can't author it, so therefore... Jim had explained to him that is not a legal option for us, so we wouldn't be amenable to doing something like that. And he said,
Move your tank.
And obviously that's not an option either, so it's just dead in the water, and we'll just have to remain like we've been doing and just keep going forward. It's an unfortunate situation. We tried to... you know, just make it clean.
So are we going to get a deed to that?
No.
Half acre?
No. I mean, you could, through the legal system, if you wanted to spend the money on it, because we've got the rights is there. It's just, we wanted to offer an opportunity to make it clean, and so there was no question, and it didn't ever become a question.
So if something happens to Bike, could we have this in writing? Or?
No, Bike just said move your tank. So he's not happy we told him no, that we can't give him free water. But we have the rights that tank's there. He has no right to move it. It's not going to get moved. That's not the intent for us. We're not worried that we're not held hostage by that. We just want it to be good and just say, well, it looks like the survey wasn't surveyed right or whatever, and we end up with a tank being partially on our property and partially on their property. We wanted to clean it up. He doesn't want to work with us without getting free water, which we can't do because of code. So we're just left back to what we were before, and that's just business as usual. I don't know what else we can do.
If we are locked out, though, we will be forced to take legal action.
Yeah, become yeah. If it escalates and we're locked out, it becomes a public health safety issue, and that'll be unfortunate.
Then the eminent domain will be an option.
And I did throw that word back in. Good ways to know that.
And I hate to. We wanted just to, you know, avoid any of that. And the cost of that land, you know, was pittance.
$500.
Yeah, you know, and we would probably pay more than that, obviously, but just to make it right, you know, to make it feel right. Not necessarily it's wrong. It just would make it clean.
So I guess if proposed work kind of hinges on if somebody has a meltdown on the tank?
No, we shouldn't have any. We have right of way. We can work on this stuff, right?
Yeah, we own the property where the booster station is. We own the right of way along the road, and we own the well. So all those connections can be made on our own property.
Okay, that's kind of what I was getting at. Are we going to be trying to make connections on?
And just see if that's where they're going to put it. Yeah. It's a good thought, but it sounds like we're going to clear on the improvements. And it's unfortunate, it really is, because it could have been an easy cleanup.
We thought it would have been. Jim's conversation with them earlier, it seemed like they were amenable, but evidently not. So.
Well, I think they mistaken us for having a lot more options available for, you know, what the oil companies have been doing. They've been quite, you know, liberal with what they're allowing. And I think that they maybe thought that we had the same liberty, but we don't, unfortunately. Unfortunately, we don't have the liberty or the money that the oil companies have. So, that's where that is. That to clarify. And did we capture that right, Jim? We capture that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're just setting.
Just good.
He's inside, not moving.
Well, the tank's there. Business as usual.
Yeah, we really can't do anything.
There's nothing we can do.
Can't move the tank.
No, that's not an option.
Until it's contested, we'll just keep it the way it is.
Yeah.
I think that would be good.
And so the way that it is you just, you bill them, but you don't.
Well, yeah, you just, it,
we won't give them a connection.
Well, what he's referencing, just so you know, back, how long ago was that? The agreement made for that other connection.
Back in 1983 or
something. Yeah, back in the 1980s, and this is why another reason he's referencing it is that they had made a connection to trade for that property free water, and they're getting free water on another connection because of that agreement, and that came to the board just like, what, 6 months ago? And the agreement says as long as the Shiners own it, because they were thinking about selling it or are selling it, and we said if it doesn't stay in the Shiner family or in that, what's defined in that contract, that's dissolved.
Did you refer to that as well with your...
About the other connection?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you say to that?
Why can't we do it again?
Well, so if the property sells, though, did he...
Oh, yeah, he knows that once it's out of Shiner's name, then it goes, he gets a bill.
Okay.
And I go, that might come sooner than later.
Has it sold?
Yeah. Are they marketing it?
They're just renting it out.
Oh, they just rent it out. Yeah. Okay. But anyway, that's grandfathered in for 30 years. But we can't, I don't know at the time if it was even an option that they should have done 30 years ago. Probably could have been more of an option back then. That isn't now. And we can't renew, so we can't do a new one.
Okay.
Any other questions for Jason or any of the subjects?
Okay.
Thanks, Jason.
Just waiting for somebody to move on it. One side or the other.
The only pending item we'll have to bring up is this addendum on the amendment. The amendment. So that's going to be on the action item list. We'll just drop it down there. All right, well, 7 o'clock. Perry Scold is next on the agenda. You want to hop up here and
sure.
Let's start the dialogue.
Well, my
short tweet.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I heard through Jim Smart that he wasn't going to farm this place behind your yard, so there's going to be water shares unused. And I was wondering if there was any chance of maybe leasing some of those water shares.
Yeah, that's, we have had some discussions that need to be talked about tonight, so that's timely, and we needed to have that discussion. So for the board, just to make sure everybody's on understanding, we had 10 acres or 10 shares of water that we leased to Jim to farm this property right here, Jim Taylor's property, and partially our property, mostly to keep, for our benefit, to keep fire and make things look a lot better around our shop. But due to whatever situations, Jim has decided this year not to do that, so that frees up those 10 shares. Some considerations, according to Dry Gulch, we're kind of past the
lease.
Past the to be able to transfer the water, yeah. But they don't have a deadline on that.
Guaranteed they do, but you can do it as long as they approve it.
So that's what I'm going to say, without special approval. And that's what I was following up with. So there's an opportunity there.
They do it till the end of the year.
So anyway, so 10 shares is what's up for grab. If we want to,
supposed to be official. It's guaranteed.
So Dry Gulch, let me just speak to that. Dry Gulch's guaranteed policy is by March 31st, they can guarantee that that will happen as long as you can take the capacity. After March 31st, it's up to the director of that class and the ditch riders whether they can deliver that water or not.
Well, what I was thinking, this water is already in our pipeline, and so there would be no difference. It would just change from... And I didn't want the whole 10 shares either. I just wanted a couple. That's all I need.
I think there is a benefit to having us maintain that 10 share capacity in our line.
And given, I think you could probably lease it out to other owners in that.
That's fine here. I want whatever's left.
So anyway, that we got to figure out what to do with that. Well, and
that's all I need to know is if you consider leasing that, and I'd be interested in getting a couple of shares. Sounds like Curtis wants the rest of it. That's what I was wanting to know. So.
So we can do that. We can lease that out. We're not going to be using it right now, right? Jim's not going to farm that.
No, he's elected not to do it this year.
So would it just be for this year, or can we do some kind of contract for a number of years?
Well, I know what it's like for the small irrigators. I'm sitting here with a bunch of large irrigators.
Yeah.
And I'm a small irrigator. But the water, like Terry, you can use it. I like my few shares that I have. If you have an opportunity to get some, and we have it, we're not going to use it. It's just going to sit there, and we're going to pay for it, or we could lease it, get something out of it.
Yeah. Okay. Any other thoughts?
Well, if it's not moving out of this pipeline, it's it for a year, and then we'll...
Our other water's tied up for...
Four years.
At the end of 2025? It's not 4 years, so...
This year and three more.
Yeah.
Till the end of 2020.
Is that water also in this line?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, not all of it.
It was.
There's 60 shares, that 50 that's leased out with the farm.
Right.
And then 10 here. And then that's all we have in this line. So
okay.
The other stuff, never out. So yeah, to answer the question is, you can consider it to match what this other stuff is, or it could be year to year, whatever we decide. But we do have that option. I wouldn't recommend going beyond what the other 50 shares is, for sure.
You wouldn't go the 4 years?
I wouldn't go beyond that.
Beyond, yeah, yeah. Okay. Just wait till that. When that comes up, then
everything would all be back together.
Have a decision to put it together.
Yeah. Right. That'd be the only thing I could see that we'd want to probably maintain.
Wait till the end of that 4 years and see where we're setting it up. But that would put you at 4 years and you'd possibly be gone.
That's right. I could be gone.
We all could.
Talk to that.
It's a reality.
Anyway.
It's a gamble.
That's right.
So there's that consideration that you want, and then the consideration that we have to make sure that we have how to make sure we're fair with the water, that people feel like we're not playing favorites and not letting people have a shot at it. So that'll be a concern as well for us.
That's my only concern with what you're asking is we just went through this as far as bidding all the water out and not keeping any in the system in our pipeline here. How would this be any different if we treat this differently than how we just bid out the rest of the water? Because it was asked to keep it in the system as well.
Yeah, like I said, it's in the system now, right?
Yeah. No, it was prior to this. We bid out. The shares. Let's see. We bid out.
I don't remember. How much is
45
Sterling Meadows got?
All of it. Oh, Trent.
25 shares?
15 shares.
Huh?
115 at D, 80 at C.
So we got... You have 10? You have paper? 60. So 45 shares we leased out.
Sterling Meadows is the only other one that has D.
No. Trent Jenkins has D as well.
Well, he was the original. He's the original 25. We bid it twice because one guy that came in. We didn't get enough on the first bid to get the water, the first go.
Not that I have a problem with you guys leasing the water, because it would be great to keep it in. I'm just concerned about not opening it up broadly to everybody, because what's different now than what we just ran the bid 2 years ago.
I think what would be different is I would be inclined to maintain our capacity, right? Because it gets shipped out. I don't know if we'll get it back. That's a waste. That's been a real reality that's hit us since we bid it out.
That's a good point.
So I'd be in favor of it leaving our line, the community line.
So do you have to open it up for the community, the people in this line?
Yeah, we'd have to discuss how that would look.
Can you just put it up? Just send an email or something. Say, hey, we have these shares. Put a bid in by this date. Whoever gets it, gets it.
You could. There's options that way. I think
that everybody gets the opportunity, right?
Yeah, because it's already designated at our turnout. This 10 shares is already allocated.
Would that be Chad as well? Where are we going to draw the line?
It's Ryan.
Right.
4,000, you mean? 4,000? Technically, there's been some changes on that. Right now, it used to be 4,000 is where the point of diversion for us was. Now they moved that point of diversion clear the top.
Full 2,000.
Our meter, we have our community meter over there by 4,000, and we got our new meter at the top of ours that actually, so that's our meter that we could say that that's the point. But
yeah, I see what you're saying now. I think that's probably a wise idea to keep it in for capacity. And the original point of delivery for us was
4,000.
4,000. So if we're going to do that, I think we, like Curtis said, we probably ought to put something together to. So here's the scenario, though. I was contacted, and I'm sure Jim was as well, by Dale Winterton, who wants to lease this water.
And did you say Terry Nelson was too?
But Dale Winterton wants to move.
Oh, that was just rumor.
Okay. But Dale Winterton wants to move the water over to his home down on State Street.
Oh, well.
So we would have to specify.
The water remains
where
it
is.
Yeah.
In the advertisement. I think we do it that way.
So that would go in, you'd have to put that in another pipe, right?
Yeah, if they wanted to move it out.
If right. They moved it to his home.
It would be in the same pipe of dry gulches, just a different delivery point.
Different delivery.
Yeah, the pipe we're talking about
is this system.
The system that we have right here.
You'd lose your body.
The private system. It would be in the same dry gulch system, though.
Yeah, this is a private line for that we're all sharing right here.
Seems like I don't understand all that. It seems like I had to move water. There was something you had to do to move that water from one pipe to another.
Well, we'd have to get approval to do that.
Well, we're not moving from a pipe. It's all Class D water, even where Dale lives. And it's fed by the same main trunk line, but the laterals coming off are private laterals.
Okay. Class D down to Winterton's place down on State Street.
Yeah. All clear down to his house.
So this pipe that serves
us... It's at the very end, then.
Yeah, this pipe that serves us on 2000 goes clear to Dale.
He's the end.
No, he's not the end.
Really?
No. Oh, Steve Seacrest is Max Cook.
Oh, okay.
So anyway,
go that far.
That would just have to be specified in the advertisement and everything.
Yeah, I would be in favor of making sure we kept with the capacity, maintain our capacity. We have our 60 shares here.
Yes.
And of that 60, we have 10 that's available.
Yeah, that.
But we would definitely need to make sure that that whoever has that opportunity has an opportunity. That way we don't get in hot water. Because we got in hot water when we did everything right. So.
Right.
So even doing things right way, you get in trouble. So. So it may be beneficial to. To let everybody know who has the opportunity. We're not going to obviously offer to people who don't, because if we can't, you know, if we can't leave the system, then...
So anything, what you're saying is anything below 4,000 West, which would be Ryan, Terry Nelson...
But you could refuse any bid, I would assume?
Yeah.
Well, given history and issues, yes.
But then there's a new... landowner there, Jex, what's his name? Jensen?
Jensen.
Dax Jensen. He bought Richard's place.
The Richard? Or,
yeah.
Your old stuff?
Yeah, he expressed interest in it too.
Did he buy water with that?
Well, he got Richard's water.
I think
water.
He got two shares.
He's got Richard's water, or some of it, I don't know how much.
Yeah, he got two shares.
Not much of it then. Is it?
But much as what was on it before.
Then me and Curtis and Jerry Cook. That's all that's on.
Right. Terry Nelson.
Well, the foreman.
Sister?
His sister.
Okay. Yeah, that would be, I think that would be appropriate to make sure that we could notify that and they say it's available. But we need to have a tight deadline on it so we can get... we don't have to, but I guess the water's in the ditch.
And even with this, you'll still have to turn a lease agreement into dry gulch. Even though it's in the system, you're still going to have to know where it is. Which,
it's not going to be a problem. It's just they need record of
who has it.
Yeah. And they do have lease agreements. There, we can just get a copy and whoever leases it. So, just...
So how does that lease, help me understand, how does that lease work in a private line, lease agreement in a private line?
So when the ditch rider is called to deliver water, they know who to deliver that water.
Okay.
This is who to charge it to.
Who to minus off the or allocation?
Yeah. We get a sheet every month of who has what water.
That makes sense.
It's a moving target because of changes.
They'll still send the bill to Johnson Water, though.
We still get the bill?
Yeah.
For the assessments and everything?
Right.
Okay, so I told you wrong. So the assessments and everything comes through us.
Right. You just pay the lease and the assessment, right?
To Johnson. Mm-hmm. Not to Dry Gulch. You pay it directly to us, apparently.
So are you writing this down, Drew, so that you
yeah.
we can make a proposal?
Well, I suggest we wait till action items on this one.
Okay.
Give us a minute to mull it over. But I think the consensus is we'll do it. Just the working structure of how many years the lease will be and
deadlines
and things like that. So.
And media message.
I think the answer to your question would be yeah, just a matter of.
Yeah, we don't want to sit on it. I think that's a consensus. We don't want to sit on the water and do nothing with it.
And it makes sense to keep it in the line. After you've satisfied my concerns, I think we could justify it that way. I was just concerned if somebody would come back to us and say, hey, we didn't do it the same way we did 2 years ago, but the capacity would satisfy that. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and we don't hurt the capacity because it's here.
Right.
We just want to keep that
capacity. It's not a negative.
Yeah, we're not adding water to the line. We're just maintaining it.
Well, I just wanted to know if it was a possibility, and then, you know, the quicker the better, because I think we'd like to use that water this year.
We're going
to
need it.
You take a minute to advertise it to the group anyway,
yeah.
So it might be and we don't meet often. But we could.
But that's something, that's like I say, we got to talk about that and see all the logistics of that, so.
Either way, it'll benefit you with someone. So.
Okay.
Well, that's all I have.
You have anything, Curtis?
Okay.
No, that's it.
Okay.
Unless you guys can make wind stop blowing.
Yeah. Yes. Ace is not supposed to blow tomorrow.
Oh,
no.
Thank you,
Curtis.
See you guys.
D. We're on D on action items now. D. Water shares. Okay, I'll entertain a motion on the regular board meeting minutes of April 7th.
I move that we accept the board minutes.
So moved by
second.
Moved by Paul, second by Dan. Any discussion on the minutes? Any corrections? I had one.
Did you have one?
Yeah. So on this Wayne Robb, I remember that we agreed, and this is just, you guys are going to have to help me with my memory here. I remember that we agreed to conditionally allow him to connect to that line, but to use for agriculture use, but not home. But I don't remember designating an actual time from October to May. I know that he had said that, but I don't think that that was one of our requirements, that we were just going to say no other agriculture. If it's necessary, I just don't remember. So I wanted to make sure we were clear on that, that we don't restrict more than what we had agreed to.
Well, like I said before, I think that come from him saying that he would have it in a feedlot in
through the
October through May.
But so that was...
If it doesn't need to be there, then it's...
That's the question I'm asking. If that's all he wants, then I guess that's what we agreed to. That's fine. I just want to clarify it for me because I don't remember that.
I think it makes cleaner if he does start doing different things down there and it is in that different season. Then we can say, no, this is the agreement. You'll have to come sit down with us. And
wasn't there some discussion on the summertime use of bridge hinges and stuff
yes.
up there?
Yep.
Which their usage is heavier during the summer months.
Yep.
So maybe that's where it came from, I don't know.
OK, Okay, so on, so then the only other thing I had question on that same one, it says Sunrise Engineering ran a model of the line and will draw 5 PSI. It has a potential. Can we change the wording? Because that was adding a connection, not accounting what he was using before. So it's like, it's really not the same scenario, right? It was just if we added that three-quarter connection and with the usage, but really we're just, that usage is probably going to be about the same what it's always been. So potential drop, and then it was within what the state SDE recommendation, so I would say you qualified that with, and the recommendation isn't the 5 PSI, the recommendation is you got to maintain 40 PSI, and we will be able to maintain, according to the model, we'll be able to maintain 45, what was it, 45?
Yeah, so for that scenario, that was during peak instantaneous, and the minimum required pressure during peak instantaneous was 30 PSI, and it still had 45 PSI with it.
Okay.
During peak instantaneous. Peak day flows are less than peak instantaneous flows, so the pressure is a little bit higher, but it doesn't govern as close as peak instantaneous does, so we didn't check that scenario. We just checked the peak instantaneous scenario.
Okay, so just the peak. So I just want to qualify to make sure that the qualification wasn't the 5 drop. It's just that we'll be well within, you might just say well within peak.
Peak instantaneous, minimum required pressure.
So that.
Yeah, sure.
We'll be well within, well above.
Can we just put that 45 on there? It should stay above 45 PSI.
You can put it on there however you want, but the state code just says 30 PSI.
I don't like to be locked in to a number because variables, and especially where this was an additional, it's not apples and exactly with apples because we're not actually adding an additional one. So I would like the language to say, from what I understand, is that it's that we were well over the
state minimum
pressure requirements.
So what you're saying when it's October to May, you just want to...
No, we can leave that. We can leave that. If that's what the intent was, that's fine with me. I just wanted to make sure, clarify that.
Well, if he uses water during after May or before October, well, then there'd be violations, so...
But if he... Yeah. That was just my question. If that's what he said to do, then that's what he said to do.
I think he followed that with what the agreement was.
And if he's the one that designated that.
Well, I think that's what I remember, but it's, he says I'll have cows in there during October to May because of the feedlot situation. But if it doesn't need to be there, and to make it easier for the system, then we could take it off.
What did the agreement look like when you got it done? Did you have the time to line in it?
The agreement on our application, or on the application?
Yeah, if it's on there, then we need to maintain that for sure. It's a good thought.
And then we're going to see another one with Tommy Meacham when he comes in and does it. So I think we just said it as a...
Oh, that's over there, the east
end. And he speaks the same.
That's right. Similar situation.
Yeah.
Feedlot. Or stock use.
Yeah,
stock use. Stock water.
So the application says conditional permit, so this is the conditional side. The rest of it's right, just the cookie cutter stuff. So I'll read this. It said, conditional permit. This is conditional permit for agriculture. It is to be used for livestock only. It will not be connected to any dwelling. So we need to put this in there. Just have that same language here. You got it. Did he sign it already?
Yep.
Okay. So he's already agreed to that, so let's just keep it that way.
October to May out.
Yep, and this is how it says there. Was there any other thoughts on the minutes? Instead of saying, and this is just a, in personnel policy, retirement needs to be 12% to make everybody whole. I would say just instead of make everybody whole, and I know that's what I said, but I think it needs to say to keep on or to keep to keep it consistent with what was the with the policy on the benefit side. So keep consistent instead of make everyone whole.
Rocks are cut as well.
Keep consistent with the existing policy.
We need to discuss trying to deal with all the earth.
Which one is that?
Well, the faces. I'm assuming that means they.
Oh, right there.
Talked about a little bit earlier, but apparently it's not in the...
Yeah, that'll go in the new minutes. So this,
to acquire it.
Right, that'll go in our new minutes. For that, he didn't want to. He didn't want to do it legally. And it could change. I mean,
at least the officers are in. I'm sure he did a good job on the PR there with him, so the fee fits. So was there an actual offer made on the property, or is it just on the...
I told him, I go, what we want to be exchange money for property. That's how we want it, so it's clean and
right.
Done. Oh, we just need to trade, we don't want money. That's not how it works, because the money makes it clean.
Keeps us out of trouble when you got a direct.
I mean, let me keep working on the kids.
And sometimes time is the best.
Yeah. So, what is there any other items on here, or any other discussion or corrections needed? Hearing none. We'll vote to accept the minutes as corrected, modified. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Carries. Financial report. I have a motion to accept the financial report for our operating budget for April.
I will move. We accept the report.
So moved by Drew. Yeah, second. Seconded by Paul. Any discussion? Questions?
Doesn't take much.
Okay. I mean, I was worried about all the, the $5 from everybody. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. But I didn't think about the industrial people.
Yeah, it's like $2,000. It don't take much.
Those companies have a hard time sometimes getting their ducks in a row.
Yeah. I think they think you're going to wipe it off.
Yeah. So Johnson and Mill, they took off. Who's doing our water impact? Was it Johnson and Mill? Jason, you guys doing the water impact?
The
impact fee study?
Yes. We talked about that briefly. I need to, so we had to make up our planner, because that was part of our discussion, was having a revisit to your code. And our planner on staff got back to us so much that he wasn't able to help us with the right way, so we reached out to a couple other people that could help us, you know, third party, and we're trying to get some information back from them. I'll let me follow up with them again, and we'll get back on that one.
So do we have that pending issue that we're trying to decide on whether some of those connections they have to pay for that, right? Is that pressing? Okay.
Yeah.
Age of mountain
man
here.
Just curious, how many TFOs does $140 buy nowadays?
$140?
Or whatever that
14.
Is.
I think that's like 20.
Oh, really? That sounds better than I thought it would. Mm-hmm.
I guess 10, half that.
Maybe I go 10.
Or 14. I was only 6 off. You have a construction project, when you pay for the materials, guess you buy a lot of materials, huh?
Yeah.
How's our material budget coming in?
What budget?
6. This is right here.
Explain what you guys did on the on-call then. You're looking at financials.
Oh, we scrapped it.
Perfect.
They're right here. So it's pretty well as written. There was a few changes. I don't recall. It's right here. If you want to read it over.
$1.
Got way liberal.
Okay, so each on call, so it's is it a week for each week? Okay. So
everything's down there right now.
What do you mean?
So I'm just looking at payroll on the on-call. So how's it being divided up?
Monday to Sunday on every calendar.
Yep. So it's got hours, though, tied to the on-call on the pay. So it's $126 for 7 days.
Right? $18 a day.
So how are you looking at that?
Oh, the master part. You got the only copy.
I've got the only one.
Yeah, don't ruin it.
So we've got hours tied to the on-call pay.
We do?
Yes.
That's their pallet put in there. That's
we have hours, time tomorrow.
So 8 salary. Times 18 or whatever, if you figured out. So
right, but this is for a weekly, right? So you're going, so there's like 30 hours for gym and 8 for distance, so how does that
I remember the discussion on this. So you're saying because of the pay system, yeah, we talked about.
You have to put hours in?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a little bit more than that, too, because she needs to know. We allowed them, in the policy, we said it's Monday through Sunday, but we allow them to trade and shuffle as needed, but they had to have it documented the way that it's put in payroll so that Karen knows how to allocate those $18 for every 8 hours. Right? Did I remember that right? Yeah.
Okay. But it's still not adding up, though.
It don't have to.
Well, no, because if they're doing every other week, there should be 4 weeks
of home call for that.
I think we've only been doing it 3 weeks. So Jay's had 2 weeks, I had one.
So 3 weeks, and we've got...
I'm not
quite... What item are you on? I'm almost there. Where are you at?
Page 2. And 3.
On the pay registry?
Yeah.
Okay, there we are.
We've got $684 of on call pay, and there's only been 3 weeks. So that's $228 a week.
Well, this should only be in 2 weeks. Well, actually, pay period.
For a month, isn't it?
So there's a 4 week. How many weeks is this?
So it got me down for 144 twice.
Yeah, something's not right there.
So hang on, April. Where are we at? April. So April, there should be. I'll be with you. I see what you're saying now. I thought you were talking about on the call paper, but you're talking. You're looking at this.
Well, I was curious what you passed because it's not jiving with what.
Yeah, I'm with you now.
But I didn't know. That's why I was curious.
So for $18 a day for a month of April, the max on call payout would be $540
for the whole month. Right.
Okay. And then so we've got $144 for Dixon.
Sure.
And then
there was shortage. I have less days on, just the way it
went.
Well, on a calendar,
it works out.
So like this next
it's one, 84.
I'm getting less. I got to do it again. I got 538.
Okay.
540.
684.
I know, but I just got 538. So I got to redo my numbers. Mine doesn't jive with you.
Is that 8 on Dixon supposed to be 7 days?
No, he did.
It was
8
days.
He had an extra day.
Because it's usually 15 days, so you'll have an 8 and a 7 in the pay period. Because it would go 1 first to the 15th.
So 558 is the total max?
Then on the
540
end of the month,
the total.
You have
540.
Mm-hmm.
16,
and I got
540. Some
so add 540 and 144. So that's what we're dealing with.
Say what?
540 and 144.
Where are you getting the 540?
On Dixon's.
No, I'm only getting... Dixon's got paid 288.
How much is 540? On call.
Where's that?
It's on the second page.
I'm on the second page.
Talking through.
Am I missing it?
No, she's got 134 and
144. All you're doing is adding them up on the calendar. Because I got it on the calendar in there.
Well, then there's a serious typo on mine.
Yeah.
Whoa. You're on, oh, no, you're on the total. That's the
oh,
total.
Oh, that's the total amount. Okay.
Yes.
That's not Dixon's line item.
Right.
Ah.
Yes.
Of course.
I was like, wow, how did that get sideways?
That was deceiving because it wasn't adding up.
Yeah, so, okay, it added up.
I get the look.
I was like, Jim's getting ripped off here.
Okay. Jim will agree, huh?
Yes. Just so that adds up.
According to my math, it adds
okay.
Perfectly.
Hey, it's my computer said it was right. So.
Oh, you trust them?
No, but I did because I called and checked
it out.
Report
total, not Dixon's total. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where it should balance out.
Good. Okay. That's the only thing
I have. So any further discussion on the finance report? Okay, hearing none, I will call for the question. Those in favor of accepting the finance report for April, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. That's done. Okay, so that leads us to management report.
Hey, before you move in there, just not to pull you offline, but since you've got your...
Are you done with that?
Sure. Yeah. Thank you.
I put the insurance on the back sheet in the packet. I just didn't want it to get bypassed.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so then...
This will be...
Okay.
You want to talk about this? That's before the manager report.
I just start filing this. I think it might get lost.
Anybody got a problem? We'll talk about item 6 right now, since it's on the finance report. All right, go ahead, Karen.
Okay. The health insurance went up 5.8%, and the dental went up 1%. So you can see on the paper it shows you it's got the current and the new of what it's going to be.
So we operate from July 1st to June. So our new fiscal year will start July 1st. So at the time we've got to reassess the benefits or anything it raises. And right now we're with PE PHP, which is through the state's program, right?
Yeah. And I have to have the paper in to them by...
For elections?
Yeah, by the 27th of this month.
Of May?
Yeah.
Okay, so any decisions and stuff got to be made by the 27th on any kind of changes, any modifications to this, or whatever. Do we know what, let's see, Advantage... Traditional option 3.
That's what we've had.
So what's the deductible on that?
I think it's like 2,000. I was going to look it up, but I didn't. I don't think it tells us anything.
What is it? The Summit and Advanced?
Star. Star or the Advantage?
And Summit. Well, I think that those are the two, the networks are Summit and...
There's Summit, Advantage, definitely.
Summit, Advantage, Preferred. This is a little, you get a little more options than I did.
It's releasing at HSA. Have you guys looked at HSA at all?
Well, if it's balanced and then it qualifies HSA at 2,000. Dang it. This don't show what our current plan is. It just says how you renew it.
Does it tell you?
The amounts are here, but it doesn't say what's the Yeah, this is just acceptance.
One of these two. Manage exclusive.
Mm-hmm. That's what it says here. I just don't know what that means. They have some. Yeah, but I don't see the.
They have representatives that could come out and give you some different options as far as their plans go, if we ever wanted to look into that. But for this cycle, it's probably a little too late, but for next year, might be something interesting.
Yeah, there's the STAR. That's the HSA you're thinking of.
Yes, the STAR. Mm-hmm. And that's what I... HSA, I like the HSA plan myself.
Well, that's the one I'm on, so it's the STAR HSA, and you can go into networks. There's two, there's Summit and the other
one. Right. Yeah.
I don't remember either. Then there's a traditional one. And I think that's what you're in. So I don't, 2,000 really is your deductible? Well, because that sounds high for the traditional.
Because right now we're just doing the same thing over and over. Every year.
When we started, I thought it was 2,000 for later date.
Jim or Dixon, you know what your deductible is?
I don't know.
Oh, Jim, you know what your deductible is?
We've never, neither one of us has ever reached.
Not even with our COVID?
Nope.
Cheaper.
It is.
Which one?
You just shot a combiotic on that thing. Apple flavor.
It's like keeping my lemon.
So, the new cycle, we have till the 27th if we want to make any adjustments to our plan. If we want to make adjustments to our policy, we have till July 1st is when it takes in. So it would be our June meeting, if there's any adjustments that we will make to our policy. But the policy is due the 27th of this month, so we're out of time for it. But as far as our benefit policy, we have one more month to discuss that.
So do we need a motion on any of this?
I'm going to just go ahead and keep it the same, then I can...
We don't have a choice, I don't think, right now, so we don't have time to change it.
No.
But next year I'd like to have maybe a month or two heads up and have them come and give a presentation on the different options for you guys. So
we used to have a meeting over in Bernal.
Mm-hmm.
And we all went over there, but because of COVID, that they haven't done it for the last 2 years. And I didn't see the sense of getting on and watching on that computer, you know.
So these are the new rates, right?
Yeah.
But, any other thoughts on that? Okay. We'll move on to the... management report.
Okay, the first one on policies, meters installed by a contractor. Mm-hmm. We've been thinking that with the there's a lot of variables involved in installing the meter. Up there, you can see, depends on what side of the road it's on. Sometimes they have to bore the road. Size of the saddles determines cost, type of soil, depth of pipe, distance from the main to the meter, scheduling, and pavement repair. So we thought it would be better if we change our rate structure so that we don't put it all in one lump sum, because we're already losing money with the materials, and have them pay basically this $29.12, which includes the impact fee and inspection fee and the meter, and then a tapping fee. And we just want to do the tapping because we want to make sure it's done right. But over here on the cost, you can see that just the materials alone are almost $800. And then by the time we're done, we're $1,700 in, and they're only paying $1,500 above the impact fee. So we're only losing $228
per connection.
I put down that it takes us 3 hours labor. Sometimes it's less, sometimes it's more. Sometimes we spend the whole dang day trying to get somebody connected. Jim did two today. But this is just a proposal that we change it so that it would free us up more time doing other stuff. We contract it out. And we would supply them with the specified brand of everything that we use, so that if we ever had to repair it, we'd have repair parts, and they would do it to our specs. And with the inflation the way it's going, these numbers are going to go up. These are from the latest prices I got were from like January, February. on what each of these cost. And this is for a 3/4 inch connection. It goes quite a bit up once you get to one, or two is way up. But, so that's what I'd like you to consider, is changing the policy so that we can have a contractor do it. We might want to have them put a bond up for, you know, insurance for when they do it, so if they damage something, that we're covered.
So, Dixon, real quick, so that's the hard costs of materials.
These costs right here, yeah. This is what we went over our last invoices on all of these materials, what they cost. The only one I didn't have was a saddle. So that's just a guess. This is just a guess.
Okay, so, and then moving over across your spreadsheet there, that would be the impact fee, $1,500.
So the impact fee is the $2,500. The installation is what's left, and then a total of $4,000.
So $1,500 is what we would be able to take out of the hire contractor. That would come out of that $1,500, right?
No, what we would do is we would just charge them the impact fee, then they would hire the contractor to do all the work. We would charge a $100 inspection fee, we'd supply the meter and install it, and that costs $262 for the meter.
So they would pay the contractor, we would not?
That's correct. And then we would do a tapping fee, which is a total of $2,912.
Is this on every meter, or just...
This is just on 3/4 inch meters.
No, the proposal is for every new connection.
Yes.
The contractor.
Yes. Because the costs are constantly changing, it's like next to impossible for us to know exactly what's going to cost. But if they have to pay a contractor, then we don't have to worry about it.
And it'll take the liability off of us hitting a, say, a fiber optic line.
So who would ever do that?
I think they're not going to charge us for it.
Well, they shouldn't.
They should have.
We didn't break it.
Yeah, we didn't break the fibers, the conduit, so we're good.
So anyway, that's what I'd like you to consider.
So do we pay pavement repair if we damage it? Is that our dime too?
Yeah, if we damage something, we've got to pay to have it fixed.
Yeah, and there are some lines that are out in the middle of the road and we're supposed to pull the bond. Well, we do have the bond with the county, but like I've done it in cities that the contractor pulls the bond. They hold the bond for 1 year on the road, so the road gets back to normal, and it's out of our hands, that liability is. And the other big thing right now is just availability on materials. It's horrible.
So, just being a devil's advocate, if we put this on to the homeowner, is it going to be any easier for them to find a contractors are hard to find.
Well, we could give them a list of people we know who do it.
Well, it has to be approved vendors list.
Yeah, we'd get guys who were insured.
For sure.
But right now, you know, some of these people have been waiting a month or so, but with the project out there going, and we've just been putting them back and putting them back and putting them back. But we've got, what, 5 or 6 more to go now?
Or do we need to look at raising, as far as us hiring the contractor and raising the rate to cover the cost?
Us hiring the contractor?
If we need help to install meters. But we need to be compensated for what that's going to cost, so we're not going backwards. So do we...
Yeah, and say we don't know because of all these variables. You know, is it out in the middle of the road? So what kind of, if it's on Ioka Lane, it's going to be really rocky. It's going to be harder on the contractor. You know, I think we just turn it over to the homeowner or the business or whoever's doing it. Then they work out an agreement with the contractor. A lot of other districts do it this way. They don't do the installation. They just leave it up to the homeowner. That way you don't have to worry about changing costs because the homeowner's got to do it. All you do is you get at your specs, you know, which type of saddle, which type of fork stop, Instatype, the HDPE, meter yoke, and then we actually provide the meter because we...
So the principle of this, I like the idea for the few principles on it. The liability is obviously a big part of the principles of it. The variability is important because if some of these, you know, we take 3 hours and some can take all day, then the under the 3 hour, the best case scenario, or do you say it takes us less than 3 hours? How does it take you less than 3 hours? You got to load up, you got to move out there, you got to do the work, and you got to get home.
It was the one we did here on the office.
So three hours is minimum, right? I mean, this is like bare bones.
Yeah, that's like the minimum.
Okay, so we're losing money on our minimum.
If you put it up to 8 hours.
Oh, you're too liberal with your value there on your labor. Can you get that,
Pam? $74 an hour. Two guys.
Oh, two guys. Okay.
So it sounds like we may need to...
I just think
cost of the
conversion. So yeah, I guess that's right. What's that?
Looks like we may need to up the cost of our connection.
Well, the third thing I'm going to say is that it looks like we're underwater.
Yeah, if we're going backwards, it's not making sense.
But how do you set that rate when one does take 4 hours and another one takes 8? You know.
Well, it evens out in the budget, right? I mean, as far
that was kind of the point is if that's the bare minimum and we're losing money on the bare minimum one,
right,
then we're definitely losing money above. Okay. It's just we're subsidizing it. The system is subsidizing it.
So I guess we would need the medium. What's your medium install?
12.
Now,
four hours, maybe.
When you talk about medium, you've got to calculate the time to get there and time to mow and demow. Yeah, you're back.
So if you're in Pleasant Valley, you got an hour round trip out and back.
Mm-hmm. Plus a couple hours if it goes good.
So we'll say five hours.
And you get out there and you set it to class 5 and you find...
Okay, so how many hours do you spend?
Another car.
Yep.
So then you spend just a little bit of time blue staking, right? You call blue stake. And then...
Getting parts.
Yeah, it's a half hour doing blue stakes sometimes
then,
because they
deny them.
They deny them, and you don't find out for an hour, and then you got to redo the whole thing.
And then getting parts.
Yeah.
So you think you're a little too conservative on your hours?
Well, I know I'm conservative. That's why I want to push it off on somebody else. I want the contractor to do all that.
Well, either way, whether we do it or a contractor does it, the homeowner needs to pay for it.
Yeah.
So whether we keep it in-house or we contract with that, we need to know that number so we can raise the rate to cover our labor.
Well, you're not got all your costs in there. You got to get your truck in there. Or is that with the backhoe?
I put the backhoe in there at $150 an hour.
So that takes care of your truck. Okay, that takes care of your truck. And then... miscellaneous tools and supplies, a little bit there. So you're about $2,100. I would say that you're probably 6 hours or 8 hours be your medium.
Say 8, just to be safe.
And so you're $2,100, and where that means just losing $600 per average connection. Mm-hmm. What it was. That's what we're losing.
So what is our connection now?
$1,500 plus $2,500.
$4,000 total, but $2,500 of that is the impact fee. So that leaves us $1,500.
Materials and labor.
So we're 600 shy. And we're 4,000.
We're 600 shy.
But we're 4,000 on a three-quarter-inch connection, right?
But you can't count the 2,500.
Right.
So we're $1,500 of what the installation is, cost of
but
that.
But that still comes out of 4,000, right?
Yes.
Right.
The 1,500 does.
So if we're going to be... if we're going to be breaking even, we need to bump that up at least $600.
Be $4,600.
Right. Yeah. So we go 5,000 and we're covered.
But I think that we ought to really seriously consider, I like the idea of maybe looking at an exit ramp here as an opportunity. We're decreasing the cost that they pay us, but the variable of their expense is on them, not us. So if it's like Kenny Richens, he's going to do it for himself. If, you know, so I'm just saying something like a backhoe or somebody's going to do it themselves. So we'd have that, you know, we have to make sure that it was done right. But other than that, we put the liability onus on and the variables on pricing on the homeowner.
And your recommendation would be you guys are still doing the pass.
Correct.
Okay.
And we finished the inspection.
Okay. And the meters.
And we will install the meter.
I was sorting through what you're talking there. That's clarification.
So what far right, Dixon, is what you're proposing? You say, okay, if we put the onus on the installation and materials on the purchase, the buyer, then we could drop us down to $2,900 and be good. Comfortable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I would bet that the cost of meters is going to go up, and so that's not off. You know, tapping isn't going to change much. Inspection fee is not going to change, but the meters, I'll bet they take off.
Just curious, how many new connections do we do in 2020? More.
21.
Four is it?
We bypassed this year what we did last year.
Already?
We had last month 3 connections today.
Right.
Just starting his subdivision.
But his meters are already here. I mean, his setters and everything, you just need to put the meter setter in, I guess.
Well, and that's a good point, because at that point, if we have a situation like Lance, the proposal is going to work better in that situation because our cost
did. Huh? And the contractor did install that.
Mm-hmm. But you're saying, because at the time we're like, well, if they don't have a connection until we set the meter. But they took care of the other end of it. It's just been sitting there. So we don't have to keep the meter on our book or the connection on our book until they actually drop a meter. We don't have to do any of that stuff. If they were to initiate us to do that, then we would have it on our books as a connection because they would have had to pay us for that. So that's another benefit of going that way. Does that make sense? So they can plumb it out, and we don't have to sell it to them until.
And at that point, we charge an impact fee.
Yes. At that point.
Because they put the line in.
When they connect to our line, that's right. So, well, that's only on the subdivisions,
right?
So
that's
plan.
Something that may be considered because mm-hmm. we're going to get built with these.
Yep.
See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I like the lack of liability the most, though. And take the variability out of it.
Because there's more and more every day.
Yeah. Are we going to get pushback if they can't find the contractor, though?
There's contractors.
Who? Who can you get right now to do anything? We've got a water leak that we're trying to build, so we can't find a contractor to fix it.
Jeez, it's crazy.
So I, if there's contractors that are willing to come put a meter in or fix a water leak, I would love a list for personal use.
Jim can do it. Jim can do it at night.
They're the only ones that actually are showing interest.
Joe Shields there.
And Joe Shields, he's pounding.
What about Upper Country? Kurt.
No.
Backhoe Supremo. Are they still around?
He's backed up.
Are they?
They're doing so
what's
many
his name?
Up there in Upper Country. He can't keep up either. But that would just be my only concern is from a resident standpoint, are we going to get pushed back if our staff can't or won't?
Well, there could be an option if it goes past the point we could have a installation rate.
Right. If they want us to do it, we could have a fee or something.
If we have time. And
I just don't want
to. Because right now we're
not doing it.
See, one of the problems is whenever you change fees, you have to have a public hearing.
Sure.
Okay. So I don't know what you could do for an installation charge, because it would be constantly changing, you know, because you can't have a meeting every month because the costs are going up. But
well, materials wouldn't have to have public hearings if they're covering just materials.
So if you listed it, it's so much to install it plus the cost of material.
Well, that's how our 2-inch are right now.
Installation plus cost. Is how you could word that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's a good idea. I think
your forks.
I think we just need to
make forks.
Have an option, just so that we don't pass the buck solely on to the customer and they have no idea, or they can't get a hold of somebody to do it. That's going to put us in a bad spot.
Almost need to have an approved list of contractors.
Well, that's what other districts do that I've ever worked with, is that they have an approved vendors list that they've vetted already, and they just hand it to the owner. When we did it for Ballard City, I was on that list, and I remember going out and installing it for them, the homeowner. Do they still have that policy? I think they do this. Ballard City does this.
I don't know. Do you know?
They did. When I was in the construction.
Would you consider Dixon and Jim, how do you feel about it, go this route, but in the event that they can't find somebody on our list that's willing to do it in a timely manner, that we have an out for them, at least that we can help them, just so we're not putting them off for 6 months for a connection, or 3 months, or whatever. I personally would rather have something that way. From a service company, I mean, just to shut the door if they can't find somebody.
I think they're faced with that question right now. It sounds like we've got a backlog of 5.
Well, we're getting some new help as well.
That'll help, yeah.
That will help.
But, you know, we're...
Thank you.
We're also in the position we can't get...
materials?
Vault materials. Meter.
Well, our contract is not going to be good
for anything. Well, I know. They're not swearing at Johnson Water because of that.
They don't believe that.
And what about meters? We had to wait quite a while for the meters last time, didn't we?
Well, they're going to run into
it's gas right now. Gas is
going to go anywhere.
Well, the guys. All the Indians that don't used to cast the iron now work in call centers, so.
I know, they call me every day about my extended warranty.
You're not getting senior Medicare yet?
Not yet. I'm coming. I'm over the hill now, so.
Well, I think it's a good concept. I think it's just...
Is there any direction from the board? We can move along?
And if you, okay, have at least the installation costs. They're going to vary each time, aren't they?
Yep.
Yes.
So how do you figure that to charge them?
We've just been charging everybody the same until now.
But now if you give them a list and they can't find anybody, and as Drew said, maybe we go in and help them out.
At a cost.
How much time and effort are they going to put into finding somebody before they just say, oh, we can't do it? How are you guys going to do it? Is that good?
Well, we may put a financial incentive for them to find somebody else.
There you go.
Yeah.
We would charge more than what the contractor would charge. That would be a good way to do it.
That would be, yeah.
It would just be a last resort for them if they couldn't because of whatever. We need more contractors around here.
There's not a lot of contractors who want to do a little job. Like I said, a big job.
Can I do something else?
Mm-hmm. No, I just said make sure that's pushed down. Paul. It looks like it's...
Paul and Mars are hanging it up. After what they're doing with Lance, they're just going to...
Who is it?
Paul Rasmussen.
Oh, really?
They're going to do small jobs. pick and choose what they want, but they're not going to be doing heavy construction anymore.
The great resignation.
So,
what if you find somebody like that and get them online?
So, you know, to do the work. To call Paul and have him do it.
There's another option, and contractors may be favorable. This I know back when I was there, I would like this idea that we could put it out. We could have a core contractor list where they say we're willing to put a flat rate on this, and just have them.
Well, my suggestion would be is to for us if we're gonna validate a contractor list, let's reach out to some contractors and see if they're even willing to do something like this, to be on a list for us, for customers to call.
Well, how does Lee Moon do it?
After hours. So,
yeah. They look hungry.
You may wait till action items. You might as well give them a piece of cake.
Is that something you would be willing to do, Dixon?
Make the contractor list, yeah.
And see if they're actually willing to do it. Then
I have never thought I'd ever be in a situation where you can't beg people to come make money.
It's crazy. And Kirk has done a ton of work. He's our Greg Oaks contractor for my neck of the world. He has been so tied up the last 2 months, but it's hard.
Do any jobs?
Just doing upper country stuff for their water system.
I thought upper country had theirs hired out.
Evidently not, because he's been disconnected now. What he told me.
And this dragon paid a bill? Maybe that's the problem.
We do something. The customers he's working for probably don't.
Yeah, it could be. That's the other fun part of
that's working together is you with the contractor putting a meter in. Well, what working mechanism is there if they don't pay their bill? Because they can't shut the water off. We can.
Well, we make them pay up front. Yeah, I've done that before.
Could we work? I mean, if that becomes an issue, we could maybe do something to help them out as far as their install that we could.
Well, Johnson wanted to have to make the tap, right? Tap and then
I'd like to see who maybe a policy of who's doing this and what their ins and outs are.
So, Dixon, for the sake of our time here now, I think that the board likes the idea, and if we can do a little more work on it, I think we can bring it home.
Okay. We'll get a contractor list if we can.
And then any other little things you heard in the discussion here, if you want to take that into account, and we'll pick it up next month and
then
make
a
decision.
Might reach out to Jen. They just went through this.
Jensen did. Always seem to be right behind what they do. We ought to call them and ask them what they're doing every month, and we'll know what we're doing next month.
So they have an approved list of contractors. And they just changed it so that they pay Jensen the full rate plus the install, and then Jensen gets one of the contractors to come. But before they had it, we were talking about doing they pay the fee and then they pay a contractor to do it. So now they pay everything up front, and then Jensen picks one of the contractors from the list and calls them out to come do it. And then there's extra fees if there's a war across the road.
Asphalt repair.
And then it's just they pay up front a construction budget, and if it goes above it, then they have to come up and make up the difference. Or if it goes below.
So that's what I say, if you had a core that's what I was mentioning before, if you had a core contractors list and then have them put a price on installation with the variable unit priced out. That's what they're doing. And then they make them pay up front.
Yeah, they just make them pay up front, and then if it comes in under, then they get credited back. If it's over, they have to make it up front.
So the district, though, is calling out the contractor. Yeah. I like that scenario better, personally, just from a consumer side of things, customer side of things. That way, at least, it's on the district.
But so when you talk to the contractors and see if they're interested.
So does that fall liability on us for us
if that contractor does something.
I don't think so, because we would be hiring them. It would be still under their bond, their insurance. It would just be we were subbing basically that out from them. So they're
if they hit a fiber optic line and walk away, they could take all the assets of that one, and then they can come after us for being the general. Is that what you're asking?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a pretty far stretch.
In this day and age.
Well.
If we're acting as a general, that's what we'd be doing, right?
So we'd rather dump that on the residents?
It's her project. I don't want to take the liability. I think it'd be crazy to put the liability on Johnson Water.
Well, we wouldn't be taking liability. We've been taking liability forever since Johnson Water was...
It doesn't make it right, though. If we hit a fiber line, that's our fault, right? Or if we have somebody we're paying to hit, they hit it, then it's our liability.
And so if we hire somebody, though.
Yeah, but their insurance only goes so far. That's all I'm saying.
Haber City does it, and Mountain Regional does it. Park City does it.
So if we have a residence,
it wasn't ever a big issue up there.
So if we have a residence,
that's what
the contractor does everything.
They pay him, or the resident does.
The resident pays the contractor.
What was your question?
If a resident hires a contractor, they hit the fiber line.
It's the contractor's fault.
It's the contractor's fault. Are they going to go, it's for Johnson Water Meter. Are they going to go after the homeowner, or are they going to go after Johnson Water? Who has the money? They're going to go after the homeowner.
So they can't. Well, you have a break there. That's what I'm saying. You have a break. If we dispatch the contractor, and it's not up to the homeowner, then that is us. Then the DSA will come after us. That can go after the homeowner's insurance, but government entities have bigger pockets, they think. It's something to consider. So next month, the board can chew on it, and you can do some of the footwork, and then we can talk about it again, because we're not going to noodle it out the rest of this night. We got stuff to do, so chew on it, everybody, and then we'll pick it up next meeting.
Okay, then I just had a, I don't know, maybe this is a can of worms too, but the Duchesne County Road Department widened, or is widening, East River Road. And they filled in spots, and they dug down in others. And we just did that project where we upgraded all the air vents. So now we have to go through and raise them up a foot or cut them down a foot in order for their shoulder to be right. And I think, who owns the county right of way? Is it the county or the road department?
It's the property owner.
Well, who has the easement, I guess? Who has the right-of-way?
It's the county. They have a 66-foot right-of-way, right?
Yeah.
So the county gives us permission to use their right-of-way for utilities, for fiber optic, for gas, for water, for electricity. So when we tear up their asphalt, they want us to replace it back even better than it was. But when they cause us problems, they say they don't have any money, that we have to do it on our own.
Have we talked to them?
Yeah, they think we're unreasonable.
What are we?
Unreasonable that we're asking what? What are we?
They said, you're in our right of way. You have to do what we say.
Is this Ben Anderson you're talking to?
One of his. We haven't talked directly to him.
I think it'd be better to talk directly to Ben on this one.
But
yeah.
it's going to cost us, I don't know how much to... first of all, we can't get the cast concrete rings to raise them up because they're unavailable.
I can get them.
Oh, you found a place?
St. George. Can't get them in Salt Lake, but I can get them in St. George.
So these are all ones we just barely did, right?
Correct.
So I guess if they don't, my personal opinion is if they don't listen or don't want to help us at least, raise them up or lower them, because they negatively impacted them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we go to the commissioners.
How many is involved?
Four or five right now.
I don't know what else that they've got plans, because there's a swampy areas, and I don't know if they're going to extend the shoulders out into those. And I don't think they've decided what they're going to do there yet.
Special Service District number 2 would be another option. They're probably the ones that are
fronting the money.
Yeah, that'd be Roger Ames.
So are they going to rebuild?
I could talk to Roger.
Have you guys heard that? Anything about it? East River Road? Jones and Manila is usually the guys that work with those.
Yeah. I think I remember seeing something about that, but I don't know the details.
East River Road.
See, in the past, when the Special Service District was in charge of it, they compensated us for relocating our lines and stuff. But I don't...
I can call Roger if you want.
Or we could just bite the bullet and do it ourselves. I don't know.
What's the cost?
I don't know what those rents cost. Do you know, Jim?
Not right now, I don't.
So it's just the cost of the ring plus the... We'd have to dig down, lift the lid off, put a ring on, put the lid back on, and level it out. There's one that has to be lowered, and it's like, it's only, how high are those rings? 3 feet or 3.5?
3.
So the line's only 3 feet deep. They've cut down a foot, and they want us to cut that manhole down a foot so it's underground. So our line is only going to be 1 foot deep at that, or 2 feet deep at that spot. I'm not too worried about it freezing because that moves quite a bit. But
well, we shut it off first.
Yeah, well, normally we don't shut it off. We had a whole year where it was off last year.
I know, but I'm just saying that happens.
Yeah.
They know they've done that.
Yeah.
And you talk to them and it's your fault. You figure it out, right?
There's got
to
be something.
They don't have money to take care of it.
But they could.
We're sitting in a meeting with Jason, and I'm talking to the guy, and I said, "You buried. Why don't you just call in a blue stake?" They buried some down on 5,000 South and 2,000 West. And I called up and complained. I says, "You guys never even called in a blue stake." Well, we don't need to call in blue stake when we're just laying down road base. I says, "When you're covering up our bowels, you do, because we, you know." If we don't know what's done, then we go and have a break in the middle of the winter, and we've got frozen road base a foot thick, it's hard to shut a valve off. And so they did call in blue stakes up there. I went and marked them all, and they covered them anyway.
I think it's something to talk to the band on, honestly.
And so when I got upset, he said, no way we did that. And he says, "You show me." So I took him out and showed him, and he kind of softened up a little bit, and I just look, we're frustrated because we just spent over $50,000. I'm just pulling a number out of the air, so I don't remember exactly how much it was, but we spent a lot of money repairing those air vents, and then they just come and cover them up. And so I says, just let us know and we'll work something out, we'll get it taken care of. But you can't just cover them up and pretend like they're not there. So, I don't know what else to do. Either we just bite the bullet and pay the cost, or we talk to the county commissioners.
Well,
and see.
If we haven't had a conversation with Ben, that's the one we need to talk to.
He doesn't like talking to us.
Well, I'll call him.
Go ahead.
You said the road manager.
What was his quote? What did he call up? He didn't want to talk to us about something?
He was just, he was down there, he wasn't in the mood.
Yeah, he wasn't in the mood. That's what he said?
Yeah.
I get that way.
Well, that was an option. But the citizens not being in the mood to talk, somebody.
Well, I'll talk with Roger on this one, James, if you want me to, and then we can...
Yeah. See if we can work it out. If not, we can just do it ourselves.
But if it's an ongoing problem, you know.
Well, it needs to be a heads up on, say, the projects, and I don't know why, that, you know, there should be some good neighbor effort.
Well, I talked to, what's it, Clint, what?
Curtis,
yeah. And I told him, I said, it's just frustrating because, I said, just call us up and let us know, you know. If you're going to be filling in over it, let us know. We'll come bring a riser out for a valve box or whatever. And it's better if we know than to find out about it a year later, you know.
No.
Communication.
So.
Okay.
Okay, then the next one, time limit on policies, and I can't remember, what was that, Karen?
Excellent. That's so many. We talked about so many things. But there is some things, some policies that we have that we need to probably put some time limits on instead of stretch them out for 20 years or whatever.
Do you have a specific one that you were thinking of?
The water extension lines or whatever they are. There's that one. Yeah, that's probably another thing is when we start with the policy, let's finish it up before. So they're just hanging up there waiting to be done. So.
And then the next one is the East Duchesne rates. And that's referring to the weedy draw meters. Well, actually, they have several other meters, too, right? They've got that one out by the Bridgeland pump station. And then there's a, is there two on 9250 West, or is there just one?
9250 West.
Where the 12-inch converts to 2/8.
Up by all our ends?
Yes.
I think there's two. Because there's a Fitzgerald and then all of that. I think.
So anyway, on these, where they take off of our line to feed their customers, it used to be we charged them $1.35 a thousand plus a wheeling fee plus a loss fee. And I can't remember what the amounts were for wheeling. Was it 10% for wheeling or something like that? And
wheeling is 5 and loss is
10? Okay, so loss is 10 and wheeling is 5. So the question is, is that subject to our rate increase as well that we passed a year ago? So a year ago we raised the rates 14%, but with the East Duchesne we've had, is it a contract? Just an agreement?
I think it's an agreement.
Where we charge them a dollar.
I think we have it on paper, but it's just an agreement. It's not like a time thing.
Yeah, so we were charging them $1.35 a thousand plus a 5% wheeling fee and a 10% water loss. So basically 15% more than the $1.35. So do we increase the $1.35 to a dollar like we raised everybody else?
14% difference? I mean, increase of 14%? That's the question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Think.
So we need to raise it to meet what East Duchesne Water is doing?
No, last year we raised our rates on across the board, and but we did not raise them on East Duchesne over where, you know, Rex Weeded was. They have that area, but they don't have a line, so they tied on to our line, and they're servicing that area, and we have a meter that they pay us for that water through that. $1.35 per thousand, and we've been doing that for years. And so Dixon's asking, do we include them as well in that 14% increase?
Yeah, delivering water, yes. But it's just a certain area. It's weed-digged area.
It's just, yeah, where they come off of our line. They're a customer of ours. But it's not by residential or commercial. It's a
so it's in East Duchesne's water district, but our pipeline goes through there, and East Duchesne has no water running through there, so they just buy water from us. To
okay. Is it only one customer?
No. I don't know how many customers they have off of that one meter, but they have 2 meters there in Weedy Draw, a 2-inch and a 3/4-inch. And then they have, we think there's 2 other meters over by Fall Reds. And then there's another customer that takes off the water line right behind the pump station that's off the line, the in-feed line into the tank. So about 5 different connections that's included in that part.
And we only own 1 meter. We only read one of those meters.
We don't read any of them. Well, actually, we're starting to read the Weedy Draw ones, yes. But we don't.
So they report to us what they've billed through those meters, or what they've used through those meters, and then we pay, we charge them for that usage.
So we go ahead and up at 14% on the base, $1.35.
I think so.
That sounds like.
Does our policy specify that, or do we have to actually make a resolution on that? Do we have to have a public hearing?
That's why I wonder if it was covered under the public hearing we held.
It's basically mirroring the same thing we did for the rest of our customers.
So I was wondering how specific that language was. Did it say only residential? Did it say commercial? Did it say connections? All the above.
And then bill, has the bill come to this last year?
I would say
so. It usually comes in April.
Yeah. Bill? Oh, they're used?
Yep, all they're used.
The report? In April. We're not buying anything from them, are we?
Yeah.
Trading.
It gets complicated because the state wants a month by month accounting of water use. So if they pump too much water into the Bridgeland tank and it shows them ahead of us more than they used, then it's showing that they sold water to us, where the very next month it could be just the opposite, where we pump in more and it shows us. So we have to have them as one of our customers and also one of our wholesalers. And it's, you may go, like last year we went like 6 months in a row where we were ahead and the other 6 months they were ahead. But we have to report on a month-to-month basis to the Division of Water Rights on where that water is going.
So was fire hydrants on there? Was fire hydrants on there? I did raise the fire hydrant rate. With 14%.
The water in the fire hydrant?
Construction water?
Yeah.
I did raise it.
So this would allow for, the way I read it, it says all rates, it says section 1 water rates, all water rates, or user fees historically charged for water services are hereby ratified and confirmed. So that would basically covers everything. The only thing that to point out here, just for FYI and the board, residential water per thousand is $1.80. Commercial is $2.88, and we're charging about $1.45 right now.
On that section.
Yeah. So even with a 14% increase, they'd still be the lowest connection fee that we got. They got the best deal even with the 14% increase. Just FYI. So.
So do you have to have a hearing to bring them up to the same?
No, this is as all.
So, I mean, if you were to bring them up to the same $1.80 or
because that would be more than 14%. It depends on if you classify them as a commercial, residential line. Because at that point, if it's commercial, it would be 288. If it's a resident, designated as residential, which it is residential, would be the fucking... and would we have to answer your question? No, because we could say that's where it's at.
Well, I don't think that there needs to be favoritism shown. The rest of the system is paying the $1.80, then there should be $1.80.
Just one variable there. We do charge a willing fee and we do charge
a loss.
A loss, water loss fee. 10% water loss and 5% willing,
mm-hmm.
or 5 cent willing.
5 cents.
5 cents. So we're 13, almost 20 cents. So we're $1.50 something. So in actuality, and so if we just thought we could scrap that, and you just go to this 180, then you wouldn't have to do anything. This would cover it. You agree?
Okay, so just charge them $1.80.
No, I mean, do you agree that that's, yeah. that we're covered under that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So just $1.80 then?
Look at the board. Look at the decision makers.
I think so.
I think it would be prudent to talk with them and not just send them a bill.
Right.
Okay.
And just say that...
Four in line.
And I think if you're going to do that, then you have to wipe off the loss and the wheeling.
Yeah, that's right. I think so.
That way,
like
it puts it in line with that.
Yeah, it'd be better to square it up.
Okay, Jim's been talking to
Rob
about the possibility of a new backhoe. Do you want to talk about that, Jim?
He came to me and said that it's been a while since we got a backhoe. Yeah, I guess he's got people wanting to use backhoes. So he just gave me a estimate on what he'll give us and what a new one will cost. This backhoe cost us $102.5, just for reference. A new one is $128,861. They're offering us $70,000 for the one we have. It is a 2014 model, so it's got a few years on it, but low hours. And the other one, we got 80,000 out of it, and it was only 2 years old, I think. So,
how many hours do we have on this?
700 and.
So 58,000 up new. That's the difference.
Yeah, 58,861. 764 on the hours. Not counting what we put on it.
Yeah. That's some expensive hours.
Well.
Yes.
Per year. Aren't we looking at only 4,000 a year?
Yeah, I'm just saying on the hours though.
Right.
Very expensive hours.
And is it something we want to upgrade or hold on to it for a while?
8 years, right. 8 years old?
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying for 4,000 a year you can have a new machine?
72.
So that's what it's cost us to have this one.
Yeah. $7,200 a year is what we paid.
That's what we ordered, right? Mm-hmm. So this is not a lease. You lease this?
No,
this
we bought it. Is bought. The lease backhoes now cost $7,000 a year. What the leases are. So
no. We're at that price right now.
Yeah.
$7,200. $7,250 is what we pay. If we go with this deal, it costs us $7,250 a year.
So for us, it may be better to lease.
Well,
and it makes me wonder if that's what he goes off of.
Okay.
probably.
You know, with the way the market is right now, who knows if they're going to give us enough for it.
They care the most for it.
You think that's fair?
Yeah. From what I've seen.
About when you've seen them $700 on
a couple.
It's not something you really need to do, right?
No, if we need to, if we start going back.
$77 an hour is what that is. Is that what you had? No, we had 150.
We can do that too.
I can change that number here.
No, because we got the fuel. And that's probably $77 an hour. $5 diesel.
Well, if we're going to start becoming an issue too, you got to consider if
your sales are going to start getting up. Your sales are going to get
tired.
The scary one is the DPF filter on it. That's one.
Do you have what DPF
filter? It's got a particulate filter on it, a regen.
It's a tier.
Okay.
The new one.
So it's already done.
Not does. It doesn't have DEF, but it just has the.
The new one does?
No, the new one will have DEF.
The old has the regen.
The old has the regen.
So what's the lead time on a new machine?
I think you've got them. But I don't know.
Oh, and also for your information, go back to your second. Did you put that in here this time? Oh, it's not here. Your accounts. Your cash accounts. We have a BACO cash account. And it has, how much have you got in it?
Just enough.
$700. Got enough.
Could have put an air pressure in
here. Get a radio.
Put a piece of plastic over the seat on that one that run it for another 2 years, right?
So did you have we had this looked at last year.
Yeah. We look at it every year.
But what was the price last year that they were running?
I can't remember. I wish I would have kept it. It's not going to go down.
But that's what killed me is the one they gave us $80,000 and got stole up there and went through the fence and they tore the interior out.
But it was only 2 years old.
It was only 2 years old. But he took it with all the damage. The most of the damage.
This is an 8-year-old machine.
Yep.
We used to buy it when we were in the construction business. We bought the 700-hour holding machines from the utility company. That's why we used to buy them. So we would have been one of the customers that would have bought this one. If you like Case. Not many people do.
So what's in our fund then? Is she looking?
Yeah. Oh. Is that the last item while she's looking at that? Jimmy, did you have anything? Do you have?
70.
So we got 70 dedicated to a new BACO fund. 70,000.
Plus 70 for trading?
No. We have 70,000 cash.
Yeah. 70 as well.
Yeah, and it would cost to cover the 58,000. The difference.
Sweet. Yeah. So the money's there.
Now you said the money's there.
We got 70,000 in our BACO fund right now of cash. We need 58,000 to make up the difference between the trade in and out.
And you have a new machine.
Yeah.
And this one's how
8-year-old,
700
hours.
Old.
700 hours.
I think the trainer helped her walk.
Right. Yeah. No doubt it did. Yeah. We were roading that thing before Jim got here.
Yeah.
We bought a trailer. That's a lot of wear and tear on the vehicle. Well, equipment's not going to go down, hopefully, anytime soon.
Did it make you happy with it?
I'm happy
with what you got,
regardless.
Yeah.
No, really, I'm content. It's been a good backhoe. I actually bought that one used because I didn't want the death. I still don't want the death, but
it's
coming regardless. It doesn't scare me as bad now that we have the shop.
Well, at least they've had some years to kind of get through their growing pains of the dev, too. The first few years were rough.
Yeah.
Go to wait and buy an electric one.
Okay.
Get the window shut up around the oil field in.
One or a hydrogen. Put a hydrogen, it'll be all right.
Yeah, we got the money. We got the money there, too.
Inflation will just eat that money up anyway.
I don't know, it sounds like, to me,
it sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't believe the 58,000 traded in. That blew me away.
If I was to put a depreciation or capital expenditure, I would put a backhoe life at 6 to 8 years.
I had a camp trailer for 4 years.
And that's on the long.
I had a camp trailer for 4 years.
Where did we get
sold for $5,000 more than I paid for it.
Oh, yeah.
No way. There's no way they'll... And I had
people on that one. Put a mover on this one?
Cars used stuff right now. It's premium.
No, that's the best campers.
Yeah.
I do have better sell one.
And do we have to look? Treasure spends way too much money.
And do we have to look at Case?
Huh?
Do we have to look at Case?
No.
Oh, is that what we're looking at?
Yes.
No, we're paying way too much.
Well, I'm just saying. Would we be
trying to get under Drew's skin, but it's not working.
A cat and a deer?
I don't. I'm not a fan of catty.
Just
not a fan of deer.
That's what we were looking at.
Okay. Exactly. I'm just...
I think Case is the way to go. I'm just trying to get up Drew's skin. He's not taking the bait.
Oh, I would.
Jefferson and JCBs?
I had one of those piece of crap. Electronic nightmare.
Yeah, that is a good thing. They are a good machine.
Yeah.
Maybe it wouldn't hurt to see what's out there. If we're interested.
Well, obviously they're looking for a used one.
Yeah.
The price of used equipment is up right now for sure. But
You're paying premium, but the new is pulling it up.
Yeah. But it's the same difference, I mean, realistically for us. We've got the piece of equipment to pay for. We're making it on the tail end. We're spending it on the new one. But
like I told my dad, I'd rather have the first 700 hours than the last 700 hours. When it comes to construction equipment, because it costs you the same amount of money. We had a trencher we paid $800,000 for, sold it for half that, and we run into the absolute ground. And what it costs us was the same amount as the person bought it from us. They paid the same $400,000 as it cost us the $400,000, but we got the first 8,000 hours. They got the last. So that's where the maintenance comes in. I'd rather have the first 1,000 than the last 1,000. If that makes sense.
So why does Canyon have all deer equipment? Because they never operate it?
Probably.
Because they don't
run it. Idle better.
I think not operating the job. Pull it in, push it out. That don't make any sense to me. not intuitive.
What is it?
John Deere. Bring the crowd in, push it out.
Oh.
Backwards.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. Case I can run. Cat I can run, but I can't run John Deere. I'm going to hurt somebody. I'm constantly going... What's that bucket? That is a bucket.
We switch them around now. You can get any kind of control.
I did. We had a John Deere, and it was 1980, and we took the linkage.
Wow. I guess the money's there, then.
Okay, anybody make a motion, or let's move on and get done tonight.
Was that a make a motion?
Dan made a motion that we go ahead and swap out the backhoe per quote Jim received from Century. Who is it?
Yeah, Century.
Century.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Dean. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I abstain.
Here's the thing.
Reason for, I will probably be interested in purchasing from Century.
Tobacco?
Tobacco, just to disclose. I'm not.
Okay. All right, property access update. Do we have anything on that?
There's still a ditch back there.
Oh. Yeah, we need our... We need that contract.
So you keep it's going. On the desk, isn't it?
Yeah. We need to get that before we go home. Then we can keep going on.
Oh, you want to get out of here?
Well, before we go tonight, we need that
let's,
contract.
For next time, let's make sure that that's underneath their bullet points now.
Yeah.
They're right.
So, yes, we just so you're aware, we've gotten our portion of it done. We've got it modeled out and the road figured out that our sister office in Salt Lake is going to be doing this for water calculations and want to go forward without the contract being all the way in place. So we did a little bit of front work on it. We were just waiting on that kind of process. But then turn loose on it.
What time frame are you estimating now? Where are we at?
That's a good question. Quite half. And I don't want to speak for them because they've got their own workload, but I would assume this one is a simple enough application. One of the biggest things is they talk about having a cultural survey take place so that we can, well, the biological survey, excuse me, take place so that we can make sure that there's no endangered species or anything that we need to deal with.
We're the landowner. We can waive that.
Not with a stream alteration permit. So,
thank you.
Nice try. Yeah.
Hopefully. So, what? There's Antiquities Act or something? Because there's no bicycle down there.
Get rid of it before the survey comes through. If you can find any junk in there.
Even bean cans, they make us go, they made us rope up bean cans.
If there's anything 50 years or older, they consider a cultural find, so even if it's garbage.
Yeah. There was, you know, at the Gilson Night Mines where they have their junk, garbage, and it's just bean cans. They may just broke that off and go around. Okay.
Yeah, when the survey can get out and get done within this next month, I think we should be able to wrap the rest of it up pretty within another month after that. So.
Okay. So, for the second part of this property access update, for the property, we need to probably go in closed session to discuss the real estate strategy on the selling of it that's been approved, because of the sensitive nature of that. So let's do that toward the end. I forget with that. All right, so the next one is the job applicants. Has there been any news since last week?
We've interviewed.
Yeah, there's one.
Huh?
He asked if there was any news since he left town.
Oh. Yeah, there was one. One new one in there.
Who did you talk to? Some pre-screening.
Wes Hamburg, Braxton Nelson, Mitch Lindsay, and Colton Seacrest.
Which Braxton?
Braxton.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to interview a couple more.
So, through this process, the board, how would you like to see this this onboarding of an employee go? Would you like to select the short list? Do you want to be part of the interviews? Do you want to be part of the interviews?
I've had Gene and Dixon sit in on the interviews.
What do you guys want to do? Finish this out.
Haven't you kind of sorted this out? Through the strong.
Yeah, we'll give them the strong. So we've had six. I just seen the say. Is that his last name? What
do you
say? AC. And he looks like someone that might want to interview. So we might be doing more interviews.
Do we want to, where this is a,
where's AC?
Would it be appropriate to do a cold session on this?
That's the one I have.
We're talking about
people here.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so.
If you need a bunch of people, or should definitely be here.
Good one, sir. So you do kind of show this kind of story. And that's where I was almost wondering if you guys wanted to go through and see if you're on the same page as me and kind of rate them 1 through 10 just by resume only, and then see if we're on the same page.
So what, did you interview this Jesse Beecham?
I have not. Some stick out.
He just has decent tenure, where he's stuck out some jobs, some of these.
Yeah, you notice in some of them, there's a lot of
job offers
hopping around. Mm-hmm.
You did talk to Wesley?
Yeah.
Okay. When, on the phone or whatever?
No, he came up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Him and Braxton were in town for the weekend, so I agreed, right, because they're
good.
Out of town. So I set it up
at
a short notice. We got them.
Okay.
And maybe Dean or Dixon can speak to them. The one we have interviewed.
Who was here, Dean and
Dixon?
Dixon.
They're all good. With this, to me, one that stood out was what's his name? Duffy.
Wes.
Pardon?
Wes.
Yeah.
Wesley.
Wes Hamburg. He stood out in all three, but August, before he could come in, because he wants to,
he's asking.
Yeah.
Some of the ones that I've had thoughts about is where they live and where the residence would be. Mm-hmm. That's kind of been concerning.
Because it doesn't really say where they're living, right?
Yeah, well, and we've asked them in the interviews. Just like Mitch Lindsay, he lives in Yukon, which that's a ways out.
Talage?
Or Yukon? Going towards Fruitland. Probably closer to Fruitland than
Duchesne. Duchesne.
North of Duchesne.
Between Duchesne and Alabama.
Yeah. Okay, that's
what I'm saying. What am I saying?
I'm like, I can't. I'm lost in a fence that's between Niagara.
What was Duchesne and Hannah?
Yeah, Hannah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's Utah. That's where, yeah, it's on the bottom river road there. Up the, yeah.
Very closer to the Hannah side.
Yeah, Utah's not too bad. It's about 30 minutes, huh? 35?
Yeah, 35.
Depends how far up, I guess, huh? I don't mind his tenure, but he's been owner operator of dirt works. How can we quit that, did he say?
I think he said it was during the last slowdown in the oil field, and he just lost all his
work. Palooza Tire, where's that at?
Duchesne.
Is it not the one that got a truck in the front door, is it?
No.
And why does he want to not do that anymore? Because there's so many tire shops in Duchesne now.
Probably.
How did he sing?
Really good.
Because the ones that stand out to me as I look through there is this Mitch, just on resume, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think this Beecham might be an opportunity to talk to. The ones you haven't anyway. I don't know if we've seen this one.
Seems like all of them were looking to
get out of the oil field.
Out of the oil field. You either have to get out of the oil field or the two that wanted to come back home.
Yeah.
But it's still they didn't want to be in the oil field.
I see Braxton's out. He was here. Well, I worked with him, or not worked with him, but we were talking to him at CarQuest before he left there.
I don't know if there's something about him that concerns me a little bit. That's his health issues. You know, I mean, he had to come back from that. Yeah, not good.
He's done amazing recovery for sure. So I think he's done backflips now.
Well, yeah.
So, what I, just on the first peruse here, is that the Mitch would be in that thing. He had a problem. I mean, was he good? Was a good interview?
Mm-hmm. He's worked for you. He's helped me here. He helped me on some fence over at Blizzard's.
And
I could get it done as fast as. So he is Janet's son.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
So you know him?
Janet Grant. She is...
What kid you talking to?
Mitch Lindsay?
That's the last one we talked to.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he stands out to me. And you hadn't talked to this Beecham, you said?
Nope. What is that now?
Wesley seemed to have some actual experience in what we're doing, right?
And then,
yeah. Why did you ask him, where'd he go? So I make sure I'm talking to the right person here. Did you ask him his past job stability is just not solid for being part of public works?
Right. I know so.
Do you know why?
Opportunities.
And that could be a big part of it, but I'm just saying, is he a guy that opportunity, chasing these butterflies? Because he's willing to uproot and move. Big moves. Not little moves.
He wants to come home.
Is he from here?
He's from Ridgeland.
His dad's a Wayne.
Oh, okay. What does his dad do?
He's running for Moon Lake. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's where I know. Oh.
Daria Charlie?
Yeah.
Wayne.
Who, huh?
Wayne?
Who's his wife?
Jan.
Jan.
Yeah,
Meacham. Yeah, Meacham. She said she's a Meacham before she's a Meacham.
Damn, I said Meacham.
I know. That was after she was grown up.
And that's which one? The Hamburg?
Yeah.
Have you talked to him at all?
Yeah, he's done an interview.
So he went from Duchesne to St. George to Santa Clara, which is the same thing. Then Henderson, Nevada.
He's qualified.
Yeah, he's got good qualifications. And he's got experience, so that's always a positive. What is his salary requirements that he hasn't talked about?
More than me.
And say with those qualifications, that's going to be a hard one.
Well,
but I think he's willing to. He wants to come home.
What did he give you?
36,000.
Is that what he said?
Well,
$36 an hour.
Oh, 36 an hour, not salary.
I just said that just to be fishy. Because it sounded better than that.
Who was that?
Wes.
And looking at his,
yeah, he was.
Resume there, yeah. He's well,
fresh meat.
Sorry, hang on, time out. I won't ask that question. That's about where you're at.
Huh? He told me he made a reservation of 75.
Okay.
And he said, I also said, later up, said that's negotiable. So,
I don't know.
I like him.
I know this guy, because I went to school with, or I was a little bit older, but I don't even remember the Hamburg kids. I don't know if I remember him. Let's see. Do you guys have Ben anything sending out to you? And Paul? Drew?
Well, I'll have to, whoever has to work with them, they'll have to work with them.
Yeah, it says.
That's why I told Jim, I said, you're the one that has to, you better be selective. But it's good to have board input.
It blows me away at the tenure of these applicants of their former employment. It's crazy to me. To jump that much.
Oh, yeah.
Many times for me.
I just think it'd be hard to.
I do.
I know what, just from one of my, from history, and this has been history for me through learning from hard, you know, experience, that anybody who has a job hopping has never panned out for me. They've always chased, either it's because they chased opportunities or they get mad easily and they just quit. I'm done. Can't take this somewhere. So job hoppers are high risk to me. And what qualifies as a job hopper? You know, definitely, you know, a year or less is a job hopper extreme. There is circumstances though, and if they've got good qualifications that you can inquire on that and get a feel if it makes sense, they got good answers for it. It's not a problem there. But I've always shied away from that. I haven't had good luck with them. I really haven't.
I think on Wes, I think impressed with Paul pretty much, but I
think with a guy like him, he was probably recruited by these other, he was recruited out of St. George to Santa Clara.
I believe that, yeah.
And then he was recruited to Henderson. That's what I would imagine happened, because he looked pretty good to me.
And that's, so he's on the short list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's we're not going to hire him, but let's get the short list figured out here. Who else is on your short list, do you think?
I was thinking Braxton Nelson.
He was pretty impressive. He's got a lot.
I would check his former, maybe some references. Okay, what else?
This Justin Acey is one I want to interview.
Yeah, I agree. That one kind of stood out to me.
I wanted to ask you about Trey Clay Robin.
I went to school with him. I worked with him very, very little at Newfield. I don't. J.D. Horrocks would be a good reference for him. You know J.D.? Yeah, you know J.D.
Mm-hmm.
You might be able to say, hey, what do you think? And give us their honest opinion.
We used to talk to him every for their water, remember?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember him. I remember the name.
It's been such a long time since I went to school with him. I didn't want
to... I didn't sound familiar. I just...
I can't remember if it was my age or 1 year up ahead of me. I don't remember. I do remember from school because he was in my auto class and stuff. But
Ryan Chapman, while I interviewed him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I didn't like his resume.
He's young.
Yeah.
Ryan's a hard worker.
I like his family. He's got a good father and uncle.
Yeah. Where's he working now?
Thunder Rock. Up in Wyoming.
Oh.
He wants to come home.
And sometimes, and I just want to do a word of caution, and it has nothing to do with Chatwin here, but I have had people wanting to come home, and when they get here and established, it's to find something else. Just a pass-through moment so they can get home until they find something that's really stable. I've had that happen to me. I'm not saying it would happen with any of these, but I've had bad experiences a few times. But I've had good ones, too. Not many, but good ones. Some.
Have you talked to Ryan at all?
He wants to talk to Monday. Monday.
You got something lined up with him?
So the ones that I'm... You know, obviously Wesley has good credentials, so maybe chat with Jesse, and you've already chat with Mitch. I think Mitch looks pretty good, too. So those are my three.
Wesley was one of them, you said?
Well, it may be unreachable.
Yeah.
But you're looking to replace somebody here at some point.
Right.
And I that's one of my...
You talking about me?
Me. No. This is close to retirement.
You wouldn't hurt my feelings if you're talking about me.
Do you want to hire lower level and then have Dixon retire and then hire another lower level, or have someone come in and that goes above that person that hired this
person? Well, this position was...
I think it's optional.
Yeah, definitely. I think the main reason for this position was to get some boots on the ground in the trenches.
But if you have the opportunity to hire somebody like that, you take it.
If he fits the bill, you know, and he's not out of reach.
Right.
It could be an option, for sure. I mean, I don't know why.
I'm not moving him out. I'm just saying
that. So, like, some of the questions that some of the applicants had was, what are the ways you can move up in the company? And I didn't have an answer for
them. Outlive the next guy. We're small. I mean, it's hard because we're kind of a silo. It's not like we're a big branch out municipality.
Yeah. So why don't we, for the sake of this, why don't the board put their top three in, or their, and let's look at what that looks like, and then from there the board can discuss, do we want to interview, have it be a part of the final interview? I would be in favor of that myself. I'd like to be a part of at least the final interview. But you could always be a part of any interview you want, but I would want at least the board to have the final interview. And but I'd like the management team to put together, we've kind of already done that, so let's see where everybody's at on their top three, and then we can decide where to go next, because you've already kind of already done some screening, which is good.
So you're with Mitch,
Wesley, and...
Beach. Yes.
I think that I'm all the AC. I think he'd be a good one to interview anyway, just like you were saying.
You know him? From Fleming?
He just seems to get solid.
Okay. I don't know him from nothing.
The AC.
How old is he?
I think he's 25, 26.
Can we ask that question?
No.
Nope.
Can't ask. Isn't that dumb, though?
I know. You can't ask about gender, disability.
If they're pregnant.
You can't ask that, man or woman. Marriage situation. You can't.
I know Justin isn't married.
What has he done here? I don't get this. He has April 2019, July 20th, May 21st present. So he stopped doing it and then he come back and did it? Is that what that means?
Who's this?
Hang on. Do they match up with this? Okay, so he went from his plumbing, then went to Lowe's, and then stopped and went back to his plumbing. Or Downs plumbing, sorry. So he went from Lowe's, he had a gap of about a year, and then he went to plumbing, 11-month gap, then he went to Downs plumbing, and then he stopped Downs plumbing, went back to Lowe's, and then went back to Downs plumbing. Is that how I read it?
Looks like it.
Okay.
Or it could be that he's working two jobs.
Could be. That's earlier.
Oh, that's
for
the
water company.
Okay. That's the year gap. He went to Allred's for a year, and then he went to. Okay, so he went from Lowe's to Allred's to Dow to Lowe's to Dow. Yeah, that's how it went. Wonder why he did that. That's a lot of movement.
Overheads, what overheads?
Darn.
So you want to interview Melanie Walsh, two more? Overheads in the major Downs.
Huh? Yeah. Downs? Troy Johnson is the reference there.
Right.
Yeah, all right. Is Troy the rear gentleman of Colin?
I don't know.
I think it is. He's been there forever.
Not really gray, but...
Yeah.
Not white gray.
Right. Right. Just, yeah, it's a dark.
But that tall guy, yeah. I don't know his name.
I think that's him. Boone Williams. That sounds familiar.
Who?
Boone Williams. So Dan, you think Justin's worth a chat?
Well, I think he'll be worth it.
And then, did you have any other thoughts on any of them?
I think those others that you mentioned.
Okay.
One of my interactions with Jackson is he if he could do everything he said he could do, he'd be pretty busy.
Kind of Mike, but that's Stevens on that.
You know, but it, as you grow up, things change, you know. So.
I'm trying to grow up. I hear you. Dean, do you have any thoughts on what's your thoughts on your top three?
Well, I like that hamburger. I really did.
Wesley?
I don't know what Jim's got for the others.
So I got Mitch Lindsay, the last one we did?
Yeah.
What do you think about him?
Lindsay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those things that I have a hard time with. First impressions. Walked through there, and I had, I got to talk to him. He impressed me, you know, when he talked to him.
But he came from work.
Yeah.
And he was kind of late getting here because he got caught up in a roadblock somewhere that did some construction. But then we started talking to us, you know. And he was impressed me.
What did you think, Dixon, of him?
I'm pretty much in agreement with the other two. Can't remember his name now.
That Seacrest. Who's he on?
Wesley,
yeah. He's my top. And then I liked Braxton. He just exuded enthusiasm. I don't know him that well.
That's Braxton.
Yeah.
He's very outgoing. He's very friendly. He's a good dude to chat with.
And then I liked Mitch, too.
Okay, Paul, what are you thinking?
Well, I think the one that's been mentioned is definitely one to look at.
Okay.
Definitely Wes. Wesley has probably the better qualifications. I don't know if we can make a deal with him. That would be the thing there. You know,
Jim Smart's on a reference here.
Yes, he is.
So, you agree with the names that's been thrown on the table? But do you have any personal references on any of them?
Not really.
What about you, Drew? Where are you at?
So, three kind of stood out to me. Jeff Canacy, just reading over his deal there. I think he's worth a look at. Ryan Chatwin and Mitch Lindsay would be my three.
So, we pretty well, you have those are all on the target to talk to, right?
I have five on the target.
So you got five. Oh, that's good. That's strong. I'm happy with that. You guys happy with that? So now we got the five on the list. You've interviewed three of those. You got Mitch, or you got...
There's two of them, Mitch and Wes.
What?
That were on this. I'd have to interview Jesse, Justin, and Ryan.
So what five do we have there?
Mitch, Wesley, Jesse, Justin, and Ryan.
I think we got a pretty good pool. That's good.
I feel good about what we got coming through the door. Yeah. Everybody else is not getting even the time of day. And we'll probably get some skunks.
So, what we don't want to have, I would be not in favor of, I guess, is dragging this process on to the next board meeting. Because a couple of reasons, people are hard to hang on to. They find jobs pretty quick nowadays. So we could be waste a lot of time selecting somebody and they're like, oh, I'm long gone already. So with that in mind, we kind of should give us some guidance. The board needs to give us some guidance on how we want to navigate selecting a final candidate to make an offer to and a backup candidate, just in case that one falls through. We got five. So we've cut them in half, a little better than half. So now we need to whittle those down to the top two.
And you've interviewed three of those five?
Two of the five.
Two out of five.
Ryan will be Monday morning, and Austin will be able to.
What I would like to hear as a board member then is when you get those interviews done, you need to say, these are the ones that I feel like I can work with.
Do we want to?
That was just me personally, if you want, if somebody else wants.
Yeah, what do you?
But the problem is I can't say how much to get a fan.
Yeah, we, I was going to say, we got to have board action on compensation and direction on that. So there has to be some interaction after the primary and backup is selected.
Well, you guys, what have you been telling the applicants as far as pay goes?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I've asked them where they want us to. Mm-hmm. So Braxton was at 24.
What?
$24 an hour, I think Braxton said.
Yeah, I didn't catch it.
And then Colton Seacrest was 22.
That was their current wages.
Yeah, Wes was 36. And did Mitch say?
I didn't catch
that. I think he was around 25.
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was 25.
Well, I think you could start at that 22, 25, whatever, and if somebody wants to come to work, then you can always go up.
What's your probation period?
It's typically 6 months.
What are you? I mean, probation period is usually 90 days or 120, like you said. But what do you want to accomplish with the probation period? What is the...
To make sure, well...
I mean, it's going to be an at-will employee. You know, are we wanting to say before benefits or...
Yeah.
Like vacation and stuff?
You start them off with all benefits right off from day one?
Well, yeah, that decision needs to be made, all that and compensation, discussion.
So do you want to put certification in and get part of probation?
You can do that. If it's going to be a requirement or...
I think that's something that can be worked on well at this level. Doesn't need to be done within the first 6 months. I personally don't think that would be a requirement, but that's my own thought. We've got two certified employees. We can have the third one work on it within the first 12 months or something.
But you have the two conferences. So 6 months, I just say you need to work towards getting
right.
Level two
right.
By
a certain time.
But if you give them a year, then if they can't make the first one, they have to make the second one.
Right.
So they were asking about part of the compensation. Would they get an increase in pay after they're certified, for example?
Well, if you're starting in the 20s, probably so. If you're starting in the 36s, maybe.
Well, the guy, he has an operator, right?
Yeah, he should be certified.
He's already certified.
That would be in the state of Nevada.
You might still... How long have you been in Nevada?
8 or 9 years.
Oh, yeah. So it's gone from Utah.
But yeah, he's been there 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
Six, sorry. It's five.
How long have you been there?
It'll be five.
In Nevada.
August, he's... That's August. That's why it's August. He started August 2017.
Yeah,
so that'll be 5 years. In August.
Wait until he's
done. So that's how you keep him. Put a vesting period on.
Yeah.
Golden handcuffs. All right, so I would like to be involved in the final interviews. Final three.
Final three.
Yeah, let me know.
But that'll be us being here. But we have to make a decision on action, and once we do that, so we might have to have a special board meeting.
And that's what I was going to say. If we have to, we can call a special board meeting and get this.
Should we make a goal of having this worked out this next week and the board meeting the following Monday, Tuesday?
You probably have to do 2 weeks.
What?
Interviews next week. Well, can you get everybody done by next week?
That's
next week.
But you said you had one scheduled now?
Yeah.
So you just need two others?
Yep.
Say by the 24th.
I'm going to see if I can get them off Monday morning.
Say by the 24th. That's 8 business days.
We could have a meeting and on the 24th?
Yeah.
And all of them, but Wes, they want to give their employers 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So,
there's all. Second week of June before we get somebody? It's pretty quick.
So, if we're going to meet on the 24th, then we have to have our first and second selected by then, and we're going to discuss compensation and offer and job or the offer letter at that time. Right? Is that a worthy goal? So you got to interview the other thing, then want to get to three, then we'll do the final interview on the bottom, the top three, and then make a decision after that. And okay. Any other thing do you think we need to discuss on that?
You won't be able to come Monday, will you?
Pardon?
Will you be able to make it Monday?
Not in the morning.
Okay. Karen's good then, too. We'll be at 3 of us.
My Monday's a shot.
Okay.
But I mean, that's...
Can you come in? 8 o'clock?
I can't.
8 o'clock on Monday?
I'm out.
Well, I just spent up to Monday at 8. Mm-hmm.
Did you
want
to see
them?
I'll see
you
another week.
Okay.
I got a meeting at 9. How long
were
you thinking?
We've been doing them anywhere from a half hour to an hour.
I'll see you around. How many more are you going to do?
We're going to do 3.
3? So 2 on the list. We've got 4. I'll see. We'll get back.
But it all depends on if it fits their schedules.
Right.
All right. Fraud risk assessments. What's that?
Let's just bypass it until next month.
Okay, we can jump to the next one. I would like it. Okay, we're on action items. On call. What's that an action item on there for?
Those are
we signed them. Yeah. Heck, we already knocked a couple of those out. So IOCA project, the paperwork that these guys for the amendment. Do you want to make any actions on that? That's the to authorize them to move forward to start doing the IOCA stuff.
What you guys are doing for us today? So we're here for now. Dedicated.
They were here for the red velvet rolls.
I got a coupon for that too.
Well, it needs done. We've got the money for it. I would have rather seen something done down in Independence just because of the nature of the geographic disconnect. But it didn't work out. Maybe next time, right?
Well, it's coming. It's good. It's on the agenda.
Good.
So they're going to discuss it next week.
Perfect. So, okay, run over the numbers just so we've got it clear.
So there was $30,000 in design, additional design, and then $77,000 in additional construction admin once design is complete. So that would be the observation and then project management throughout the remainder of this. And the overall cost. The overall cost was $400,000.
That's a bid estimate.
for that, that is a cost for work.
So that's, yeah, well, oh, for the construction?
Yeah.
There are some different things out there we need to go through with design. But we had estimated, with all of the SCADA and the pump station coming in, that we're going to be close to that remaining $800,000 or $900,000 with that. So.
Now, when we went to CID on this originally, they talked about the booster stations have a life of 20 years or something. And you remember what they said about that? They didn't want to. I can't remember, they had some criteria for funding or something.
Maybe one of the board members might have had an idea of that, but there's not rules on booster stations. Probably just some
lift station though. With sewer, I think. Maybe it wasn't. They had lift stations on sewer. They were, I wanted to say, they were
crazy everywhere.
Yeah,
they spread out everywhere. There, consolidate my junk.
Well, so you can get out of here.
Yeah. Have you seen numbers from SCI?
No.
So Steve called me today, and he's getting close, but he'd left out all the meters. And I said, yeah, I want them. He goes, well, is there meters there? And I go, no. Everything's getting meters.
So when you claim this 6,000 feet of line, how do you serve that? Is that a line that can be shut down?
So they're having new lines to go to and from, and there's already lines both sides of the road, so it's going to be tight. But yeah, that's going to be one of the logistics that's worked out during design, is just how we work around those, how we...
4,000 South is probably the worst one. That's the one that's going to be hard. And that would be...
That's the ledge around
4,000 above your house.
All 4,000 South.
Yeah, that would be... And we've talked about that too. Is that in the design, what we talked about?
I think we're talking about that for probably future project more so, because this one we're pretty limited on.
We struggle getting water up there. So we've been
struggling. From my Uncle Lane.
Oh, you know, yeah, you're
going to come up for
the
inch. Design plus
do you talk about
the
long
loop? Well, they had back in the day, they just talked about
the original. The original bid, what we actually spent on Pleasant Valley, and then if we amend it to use that money somewhere else, then we're going to just
push up the hill.
So we just this plus this plus that. Right.
That
was
pretty good.
So
we've already spent this, and this is now we're considering that. The house with these costs.
Still, you're fine. Well, you go through
the upper and you climb. So is our total going to be the 401 or the 107?
107 for the new expense.
The overall total would be the 401.
But that includes the last project.
Yes, that includes Pleasant Valley.
Okay. You're looking for, so you're looking above and beyond, right?
Contract.
She's just asking above and beyond what we've already done.
That's the 107.
The 107
on top of the original contract.
Oh, okay.
And this is the authorization to...
Right. But the money's there. I mean, it's not going to be any more than what we've already been to help get from CID.
And at this point, it's all the grant money that's left. So
I'll make a motion if you're ready. So you ready for it?
Yes.
And then we'll go ahead with the, what are we going to call this, the Iowa tank?
The Pleasant Valley Water Improvement Project Amendment 1.
There you go. Put that in there. That's my motion.
Okay. So it's the Pleasant Valley Water Improvement Project Amendment 1.
been moved by Drew to accept the proposed amendment for the Pleasant Valley Water Improvement Project. Those in favor? Or no, we need a second.
I'll second.
Second by Paul. Any more discussion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Yeah, no. So, do you want me to sign this right here?
Yeah, that would be great. And then we'll get a cheap copy of that signed as well. And with this road agreement too, we'll get that.
I don't want to sign anything else. That's
we're making him sign. No, I'll get you a copy of the signed one.
Okay.
It's already
framed.
Framed?
Yeah. With the dollar amount of the water.
You know, we just dealt with the county road department with Cedarview, and it's been 6 months. And they just already signed an agreement, so you guys are lucky. Good for you. So.
Left them in a good mood.
Maybe.
He's ready to talk. He was all right that day we talked to him.
Yeah, when we talked to him, and every day since I've talked to him, he's been good. Real amenable. So. Just that one day when he was driving with me, I think he's just going to have his kids a good shootout by neighbors. So.
Happens.
Thanks, guys.
Water shares. We punted it back. We moved it far enough down the field that the ball's laying in the floor.
Oh. That scares me.
Water.
Where do you start?
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
See you, guys.
Have a good night.
Night.
We're starting with the same share.
Yeah. Yeah, what do we want to do?
I guess the question for me would be, do we want to do a 1 year, year to year? Do we want to do a 4 year to keep it in line with our other lease? Obviously we don't want to go above and beyond four, I don't think, to keep it or whatever it is.
We're still going to work on selling this.
This would not be property to, or this would not be the water we're selling, though. This is above and beyond the...
Well, right, but why would you tie it to 4 years?
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm thinking a yearly lease for this year and then reassess it after this year. Because after this year, we could move it out of the line and lease it to the general. Because our interest will be out of it, is my thought.
But maybe it'll be out, maybe it'll still be there.
Yeah. So, the other thing that the payment schedule. So right now on our leases, we're paying... Okay, let me get this straight here. So our spring assessment we're billed, our fall assessment we're billed, and then we're also billed for the above and beyond. What date is that? The above and beyond the assessment lease.
The water share lease?
Yeah.
By April 1st.
So by April 1st. And then the water assessment is due a month later for the spring assessment. So it would make more sense if we could combine at least the April and the spring assessment. That's some, well, that would have to be in May. So forego, that way you're not trying to cut two checks for these people that are leasing water. You know what I'm saying? To consolidate a check for the above and beyond and the spring assessment. So it's easy to say, okay, May, whatever day our spring assessment.
What's above and beyond?
That's the lease.
The water share lease.
Okay.
So the minimum,
so that's what they're paying us to lease the water.
The minimum is the water assessments.
Mm-hmm.
The bid amount is above and beyond the water assessments. And we're billing those at two separate times in the spring, a month apart.
So we're billing our what our lease...
In April.
And that's the above and beyond?
Yes. And then in May, we're doing again.
The assessments.
Yes. So
and then fall assessments.
Fall assessments.
So there's three billings a year.
Right. But if we can consolidate at least the two in the spring, the above and beyond and the spring assessment. That's one less check for these people to cut 30 days apart.
Why do we have the, what's the rationale? Oh, she's gone. Is it, I'll wait till she gets in. She probably the only one that has the answer to that.
Anyway. Along with
do we know why we have April 1st as a deadline? Is there a reason?
None that I know of. Other than that was probably when we approved it.
Well, you know what the two assessments are. The fall assessment and the spring assessment are the same.
Right.
No, well, it's probably the different fields.
Water gets turned in April, usually.
Mine's the same.
That's kind of weird, the same thing. Wait, no.
Changing with you, but for me, normally it's the same.
So what we're charging them the lease fee along with the spring assessment, so it's different than the fall, because they pay in the lease all in the spring, right?
Yes. So I guess what I would propose is that they pay in May when we get our spring assessment along with the above and beyond. So they get billed once in the spring, once in the fall. But the above and beyond would all be covered in the spring.
I had that backwards. So they had the 25.
Just to make it easier. Thoughts?
The only thought I've got is if they're paying the above and beyond beforehand, then you know they're serious about the water. Are they going to agree to it and then back out the last minute? That would, and I don't see anybody doing that, but that would be.
Do you want
so to order these?
I'm not working on any water.
For the lease? For
right, you got to get down.
The lease, 25, up to 50.
Chris, where's he using
Stone,
that?
Not Stone, Sterling Meadows.
Up his place? So he's got,
right there.
He's got 10 more.
So he's paying 50 plus.
I didn't know you had.
Plus the dry gulch.
So these guys have asked, they're like, what are these going to go for? I go, how bad do you want them?
Like
you only have for one share to pay $100 for it.
Exactly.
Like,
just make one price. Well, we could cover it all.
We could put a minimum on these because they are kind of a special deal where not everybody's going to get to bid on them. We could have a privileged fee. Maybe we do the highest that we're leasing our water out for the minimum.
It's 38 right now, by the way.
It is only 38?
Mm-hmm.
So it's 50 with...
Sterling Meadows has the highest.
38. Okay. They're leasing Central Roosevelt City at 50.
It's like they say, it depends on how much you want to pay. If you pay $100 and it's still going to cost you less to water your lawn or whatever they're watering than it would be to buy Johnson Water.
Well, we could do a minimum of 34 or whatever. 38.
38. It's like 50. What's that?
Hmm?
I'll say
$50.
Minimum.
I'm not opposed to that either.
You know, okay, I just have, you know, I'm a small irrigator, but it costs me more money per share than it does you guys. So, those shares are, you know, they're going out just one or two here or there or whatever. So.
Yeah, my house.
We're paying... Those small irrigators are paying more per share because there's just a minimum fee.
That's why ours is. I got two shares at my house, and I pay for five.
So what is the minimum?
I think it's 50.
Well, then let's go $50 minimum per share.
Is like over in Plum Valley, if you have less than five shares,
you pay
the price of five. So I have two shares, but I'm paying for five shares. So my fee is...
So is...
I'm about $80 a share.
You know, I think, yeah. I pay about
a lot,
74 each.
So I don't put that in 50.
74, 75.
How many shares you got?
Three shares.
It's about 75 is what the cemetery is paying.
For sure.
Per share? For three shares.
So is 50 enough? Minimum?
So 50 is not, I think it wouldn't cover it all if you...
Well, but they're... Is Greg on?
are we paying Dry Gulch that extra fee?
We're paying it on the total amount that we've
on the total. Got. Right. So,
if you have to cover us.
Yeah.
You also
have
paying that minimum reasonable billing.
Like Dusty and I are paying pebbles.
Oh, I asked the question: is what? Why did we? Why do we have April 1st as our billing? Was there a reason?
Well, there's a reason. It's just because that gives them an incentive that you know that they're serious and they pay for that. And then they do the assessments, the spring assessments, and then they don't get two big bills at the same time too.
So the spring assessment is determined by Dry Gulch at what point?
It's sent out.
So that's not, I mean, that's bound by that. So you get the water, and then they'll bill you. I like that.
Right. Well, I don't know.
So Johnson is going to pay the assessment to Dry Gulch,
right.
And we're just going to lease those out.
But
so Johnson is not paying the small user fee.
No, we'd be collecting that.
Yeah.
But for them, it's a privilege to get the small amount of water.
Well, I'm okay with the $50 minimum yearly, just on this year basis.
This year you'd have to do the shares plus assessment.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It'd be this year only plus assessment, and it would have to be billed out.
Paid upon
award of the contract. But I still don't like the double billing in spring. It's a pain in the butt.
What do you think of though, like Trent? His land lease or his water lease is $1,000.
Right.
His spring assessment's $545.
Right. But 30 days isn't going to make that big of a difference.
And for a paycheck.
For writing checks, though, for me, it's easier to write one check. It's easier for people to forget and be delinquent than just to get one bill in the spring. So I'll make a motion.
If this works good, if the way that you're billing it to those that are leasing it out right now works.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you wouldn't change it, but
it works for
her.
Isn't the sentiment that we're doing it for 1 year? So we're already past that first billing. So this year, it's not going to make any difference on that. It's all going to be in one
thing. Right, that's true. So we don't even need to worry about that.
So if we change it next year, then we might want it
to
change that.
And any other stuff is not going to happen for another few years.
Yeah. Well, just as a leasee, leasing water for multiple people, it would be a pain in the butt for me to remember to cut two checks. But
that's the only thing.
The assessments change every year.
Yes, they do.
They
every spring and fall.
They're $18 this year. They went from $16.50
to $18. So are you ready for a motion, Dusty?
I already asked.
Just waiting for the question.
No, I have already asked. You guys want to do anything? So you can feel free to move.
So I move that we lease out our 10 shares of water within our Johnson Water lateral. What are we calling it?
We've been calling it the 4,000, what did we call it in our legal descriptions? 4,000 East? No, the Johnson, JWIV in our private lateral. How about that?
Okay, that'll work. In our private lateral.
In the private lateral.
4,000 West.
4,000, yeah. Well, if you're going to designate the point, the boundary of it, you'll have to put that in there.
Okay. Did you get the boundary?
So, yeah, so 4,000. Yeah, from 4,000, the private line, starting at 4,000 West.
West.
And up on this irrigation season only, a $50 minimum on top of the water assessments.
$50 minimum per share.
Per share. On top of
Plus water assessment.
The water assessments. Due upon...
Okay, whoa. Upon...
Well, you got it.
Not for sure upon...
And water assessments. Yeah. Plus water assessment.
Okay.
When's it due?
Due upon the awarding of contract. And the time frame on this will be, we're meeting on the 24th. Can we throw that on that agenda for granting? So we'll advertise it within that group.
This week.
This next week. Bids need to be in by the noon on the 20th.
And so, yeah, the only thing I can think of.
You said the 20th or the 23rd?
No, it needs to be the 20th.
Okay.
We're on the 23rd, right? It's going to be by, it needs to be on, in here by 3 o'clock on, 2:30 or 3 o'clock on the 23rd.
3 o'clock, okay.
So you got 10 shares.
Is that, if you're waiting for our meeting?
Didn't want all 10 of them. I mean, how do you,
you let them have it. If someone comes in with a high bid for one, you let them have one share.
But you're not, you're only asking, oh, you're asking minimum of 50. Well, there you go, okay.
The bid will be on solid.
So if they want to get aggressive and they want one share at $100, then they get the one share. Yeah. Somebody comes in at 10 shares at $50, then they're
going to get 9 shares.
And how are we going to handle the advertisement?
So let me get one of those spinner boards around here.
No, just, do we have email for all of these?
I got phone numbers for most of them.
Text them? Email them? We do a flyer on their doorknob?
Let the association president know. Oh, wait, they don't have one.
Just right,
I thought they had Terry Skull.
You guys,
he's going to tell everybody, won't he? I'll just tell everybody.
I don't know how you want to.
I think they all need to be notified.
just the ones beyond the 4,000.
I'll say it. Ryan Ross is excluded because of the pending litigation and the poor business dealings we've had in the past. I'm not afraid to say that. It's been burned way too many times.
He does not have an authorized
connection,
does he?
Unfortunately, we've been burned.
So, you got enough for a second?
Well, do you have how we're going to advertise it?
Emails, phones, going to contact everybody in the next?
A flyer.
Okay.
Just
so everybody has it by, say, Monday or Tuesday of next week, I guess, so they have enough time to respond.
How many was there? There's only about 4 interested in it, or wasn't it?
So everybody would be Terry Scholes, Foots, what's that guy's name?
Dax Jensen.
Jensen.
Does he have a connection?
Next door here.
With Richard Ross stuff, yeah.
Dale Winterton.
Dale Winterton and Curtis McCormick and Terry
Nelson.
Jim Taylor. That's real Jim.
He don't have a connection.
Okay.
Or when you get the water, or if his turnout be.
Whatever Jim's been watering.
Oh.
But the reason we're not watering this is because of the access.
Oh, getting the road in there.
Okay.
You'd have to redo things.
Okay. I just throw something. Where the most money gets
you? I just say you don't have a meter, but I guess... Kind of.
What about Chris?
If he wants to use it for this?
Well, can he use extra water on the 50 that he's got? Is that legit or is that over water?
Terry Nelson would be over his 2 acres.
Yeah.
I think Terry Scholes is over.
He has one share.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, they might not have a line tied to.
Well, no,
yeah.
If they're leasing 10 shares.
Except for the Dax Jensen.
Yeah, they're going to have more shares on
10 acres.
Yeah. I don't know what that, you can water less shares with more acres. I don't know what the people, I've seen it. Why would you want to pay for more?
Doesn't everybody do that?
When you can water, everybody in the basin does that. That's what I was told.
By the way,
there it is.
Okay, do we have a second? Want to read the motion?
Drew moved to lease the 10 shares within Johnson Water Private 4000 West Lateral and upon this irrigation season, $50 minimum per share upon water assessments due upon awarding of contract bids need to be by May 20th, 3 p.m.
You change it to 23rd?
Yeah,
23rd. 23rd at by 3 p.m.
I asked about that, and I thought somebody said the 20th.
It was said, and I thought, well, we're not meeting until the 23rd, so I thought we had our 24th.
Okay.
I think we need to clarify the $50 minimum and water assessments. Bids will be on top of that. However you want to word that. Bids will be on top of a $50 minimum per share and assessments.
So it's been on the lease of it, but the assessments will be in charge on top of the lease.
The $50 each and assessments.
Whatever the price is. It's 4,000 east, I told you. Not 4,000 west.
I want east instead of west.
It's west?
West or east?
You corrected me.
East of 4,000 west.
Oh. It must be getting late. I'm confused. Sorry. I got it.
Well, the road is 4,000 west.
Mm-hmm. But the line is east. But the line is east of it. I would, instead of saying, just say
that other side.
Just say private lateral.
Yeah.
Take out the Johnson Waters.
You get them all riled up if you put Johnson Waters.
Which I don't want any.
So don't put 4,000, just put private. Johnson Water private.
No, keep the 4,000 west.
Hey, take out the Johnson Water.
Whose motion is this anyway?
No. it's actually wheat. It's actually
you
west.
It in
I was mistaken, I'm sorry. Kidding.
Oh, the west.
I know. Yeah. Drew moved to these 10 shares with.
Dusty, is this a state convention?
Oh. Where's our clickers? We can take votes that way.
Oh, geez.
So the only thing is trying to determine on your, so read what you, the on above, and so we'll make sure that's clear.
Read what the amendment is.
The amendment?
There's no amendment. You mean the changes? You asked her to put the, to clarify the bid assessment.
So,
so that part was changed.
Yeah, with private 4,000 lateral and upon this irrigation season, so upon this irrigation. $50 minimum per share plus water assessments due upon awarding of contract bid. It needs to be by the 23rd by 3 p.m.
The bids need to be on top of the $50 minimum and assessment. Time's up. All turned off. That's what she said.
You can
call me if you need to carry on that.
Okay.
I just think we need to clarify that it needs to, because if the way it was reading, $50 is going to be a bid.
What is the assessment for sure?
It's 18 bucks.
Well, that's my motion.
That's a spring assessment.
Yeah.
You'll have your fall assessment.
All right.
Also.
Is there a second? Second by Paul. Any other discussion? Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous.
Reagan's just getting ready to start her second game. State softball.
Right now?
Yeah.
Okay, so the only option, only action I have left is the real estate deal, and that shouldn't take very long, but we have to go in a closed session to talk about real estate.
We'll go in a closed session to talk about real estate.
Okay, it's been moved by Drew. Or we have to do roll call on that. So roll call to go into closed session to talk about real estate. It's been moved.
Yes.
Seconded. Dean?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
Drew?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
We'll now go into closed session to talk about real estate.